High Desert in the great American Southwest. I bid you all a good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be in the prolific time zone circling this earth, all of which are covered one way or the other by this program known as Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Good, whatever. Great to have you here, an honor to be here, and tonight we're going to have open lines. When I say open lines, I mean anything goes. Rip 'em, tear 'em, old-fashioned open lines. All I ask is that you try and have something very interesting to say. If you just want to say hi, then hey, hi. But if you have something really dramatic, really interesting to say, then I'm all over it. So we'll get to that shortly, and also in a moment, we're going to do a couple things on ham radio tonight. The first is a ham operator that I talked to on, actually I talked to him on 160 meters, which is down just actually above the broadcast band, and he's all the way over in Florida, but of late he has begun to send me some emails indicating there's something in his house that ought not be there. His name is Tom. And for the hams in the audience, he is KN4LF, that's Kilowatt Nancy 4 London Foxtrot, and something very strange has begun to happen in Tom's house. In a moment, we'll tell you all about it. All right, as mentioned, I talked to Tom on 160 meters. He's all the way in Florida, so he's one of the first guys who got to hear my new antenna when I got on with it on that very low band. Huh, Tom?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He had a beautiful signal, too.
Well, great, but, yeah, I mean, you're... You know, I looked at your website. I kind of checked you out before I brought you on the air, and, man, you're into antenna design and modeling and... all kinds of science stuff. You look heavily at space weather. It's a very nice website you've got. And by the way, folks, he's a ham, so you can look him up, KN4LF, Kilowatt Nancy 4, London Foxtrot. Pretty cool website, actually, Tom.
I appreciate that.
You're really into a lot of you science kind of guy, huh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. All right, so when I mean, you're not the kind of person who'd be given to flights of fancy, right?
No, absolutely not. I'm a very, very serious person, a scientist, and I believe what I see.
I'm same way. Show it to me.
Exactly.
And I'm not even from Missouri. So when did this begin, and what's it all about? What's going on?
Well, it all started on August 22nd, 2002, which is coincidentally my wife's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in a ranch-style house out in the country in the Plant City area, near Tampa is where we're located. And we awoke one morning and immediately noticed some strange things, what you would call, I guess, poltergeist type of happenings. I have a chest of drawers, and I always stored, to this day, still store my wallet and my wristwatch in that top drawer of that chest of drawers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got up and went over there, there's my wallet out up on top of a three-candle sconce hanging on the wall, and my watch is sitting on a stick of, I guess you could say, crack cream, you know, when you get the dry hand. So that was day one. That was the very first what I would consider to be a paranormal event.
Now, you're certain no one moved these items?
Right, absolutely, positively, you know, positively certain.
Okay. All right, but still, the average person would probably go, you know, okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So then?
Well, it just seemed to slowly escalate the happenings. It reached a point where things were happening every day. I mean, literally hundreds of things.
Examples, give me, yeah.
Well, like a towel I hung up in the main bathroom. Next morning, it's in my room hanging on a door.
Oh.
An artificial rose under my wife's pillow that came from a vase in another part of the house. My 25-year-old son being kicked in the middle of the night and nobody was there.
Oh.
And
all right, so it's yourself, your wife, your son?
Yes, everybody has experienced something except for my youngest daughter, who's 14.
Have you actually seen anything move in the air, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, yes. Many times I would describe it as shadowy type of figures in my peripheral vision. And several times, it's hard to describe, a mass of color, changing colors with no form. And then another time, I know it kind of sounds silly, but that movie Alien,
yes,
that was on years ago, and he pushes the button and you can't see him and he reflects everything around him.
Yes.
I saw something that looked just like that, and it passed right directly square in my vision.
Now, I did hear in the background your wife earlier when I called, you know, after getting the emails. And what's been her experience with this? I mean,
well, she's had a lot of the experiences right along with us. Actually, she's had some of the more harrowing in our current house. We're in the large master bedroom, and we have a large bathroom, and then there's a third room, which is the toilet area, as we call it. And twice recently, when she went into that bathroom, this is at night, the door closed behind her, though it was not locked. We couldn't turn the doorknob to get her out. It's like I was fighting something on the other end, but it wasn't her. And the lights went out. The light was turned off. And that happened to her twice.
What do you think? Now this thing followed you from one house to another, is that correct?
Well, maybe. We're just not 100% for sure because there was some downtime, as I'd like to call it. We went through approximately a year at the other house. We were at the first house for several years, and then all the supernatural, the paranormal things started the third year, went on for about a year there. We moved and bought this house. We were here for 9 months. Absolutely nothing was going on. And things had seemingly returned to normal. Then, boom. It was November 19th, off the top of my head, of 2003. It all started here again at this new location, the same kind of thing.
And what do you think you have in your house?
Well, you know, I'm certainly not an expert on the paranormal, but I've certainly read up on it. I would have to define it as a poltergeist, which, you know, in German means noisy ghost. I do believe that I have a entity, poltergeist, spirit, ghost, whatever you want to call it, in my house.
Well, I know I've been getting increasingly kind of panicked emails from you, one after another.
Yeah.
And you've been getting names written on paper, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Very few people knew about this. We basically sat on it for 2 years. But as things got more and more bizarre and a little frightening, we figured we better tell a few more people here. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, the Amityville Horror type of, you know, thoughts start going through your mind. And so that's when I started seeing you and
yes.
A couple other friends and family members.
Well, how did something get written on paper? I mean, how did
plain and simply, I had gone onto your website very recently, and I came across a company called ParanormalInvestigation.com.
Uh-huh.
And I clicked on that, and it was an interesting site, and I was able to email a gentleman at that organization by the name of Daniel, and explain the whole thing to him.
Good for you. Most people never think of doing something like that. There are organizations that investigate this kind of thing. You found one.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And, we in our minds, for the longest time, we wanted to get rid of it. Just let's just get it out of the house. But the more I spoke to him, and with myself being a scientist, we came to the realization that we should try to investigate this in a scientific way.
And so what did you do?
Okay, so step one was to do what's called EVG, electronic voice phenomenon, where you basically run a tape recorder and see what you can pick up. And at the same time, basically held one-way conversations where I spoke with the entity, asked it questions like, please tell me your first name. I'd like to know your first name.
And she gave it to you, didn't
yes,
she?
Yes, I took one of my notepads with a pen. I placed it on my bed.
Uh-huh.
Left the room for a long period of time. I came back, and actually the first thing she wrote was boo in the paper.
Huh.
Or in the notebook. And I said,
boo?
Well, move. I said,
now, you're sure,
I'm not afraid of that.
You're sure this is not your wife or your
positive.
Son screwing
yeah,
around
this,
with you?
It's all under control circumstances, and that's all been ruled
okay.
out.
Okay, all right.
Well, and then the second time around, she did actually write her name. And, of course, it totally freaked me out, and her name is Sarah.
Do you know a Sarah?
I absolutely do not. And the third incident, she wrote her last name, and it's Sarah James is her name.
Sarah James?
Sarah James, and she gave me her last name today.
Is it common, J-A-M-E-S?
Yes.
Sarah, yes. Sarah James.
And I've tried to get her to give me her age, but she won't, so it leads me to believe she may be an older person. But... before she actually started writing her name down, she actually woke me up in the middle of the night, as crazy as it sounds, running her hands through my hair.
Oh.
Yes, I wake up, startled me, of course. I look.
How's your wife handling this?
Well, okay, we're all handling it okay. It's happened so much, it's gone on so many times, it's kind of like, well, we've accepted it now.
But the running the hands through the hair thing, that?
Oh, that was pretty freaky.
But I mean, from your wife's point of view.
Well, no, she was okay with that.
All right.
You know, it was the expression on the on Sarah's face was one of, like, I guess you could say, admiration was the impression I got. But
wait. Yes. The expression on Sarah's face?
Yes. She appeared when I saw her just like a human being.
Oh.
Yes. She came in a very totally human form.
When was this?
This was in just in the past week.
In the past week?
Yes.
Now, this appearance in your bedroom?
Yes, in my master bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
It's just overwhelming. And I was able to, she was here long enough during that incident for me to wake up and make eye contact.
Okay, exactly. Describe Sarah.
Well, she was about 4 feet tall. Appeared to be a young girl, child, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old,
huh.
Wearing what I would consider to be 19th century clothing. Kind of like Little House on a Prairie type of dresses. She had long brown hair and she had brown eyes.
Wow. And she was there for how long? Just an instant?
Well, I would say completely, about 5 or 6 seconds before she just poofed. She was gone.
My goodness, Tom, you need to oil that chair.
Yes. I'm sitting in front of my radio.
In front
right
of your
now.
Ham radio. this is really something.
It's totally overwhelming. I say to myself, why me? What's the deal? I mean, I'm an open-minded person.
Have you done any research on the name? I mean, could there...
A little bit today. Like I said, we only got the full name this afternoon at about 5:30 p.m. my local time, and so far we haven't turned up anything of consequence.
Has Sarah made any requests or any, anything beyond her name and her appearance? I mean, anything that would indicate what Sarah, why she's doing this?
No, not so far. I presume that all the poltergeist type of happenings, that was her, way of trying to get our attention.
Oh, got it.
Especially me.
You remember I asked, you saw things, what have you actually seen move through the air?
Well, one of the earliest things here in the room was a stick of deodorant that flew across the room, and very recently...
One might consider that an insult.
Well, yeah, and then my wife's in the bathtub, and there's an antique soap dish, very heavy antique soap dish, on the ledge of the tub,
uh-huh.
Flying across the bathroom, hit the wall.
Your wife saw that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
do me a favor.
I won't tell you what she said.
Well, that's all right. Don't tell me fully what she said. Do me a favor, though. Will you
yes.
Put the phone down for a second and go get your wife?
Okay.
Would you?
On.
I mean, you don't have to, but I'd appreciate it.
All right, hang on.
All right, sure. You're listening to Thomas. He's a ham radio operator, KN4LF. It's an incredible
Hello.
Story. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
What
how
is,
are you?
Fine. What's first name?
Ann.
Ann. Ann, Tom is telling an incredible story. really an incredible story of something that's in your home. Do you, I mean, do you, you back him up?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's just been really, I guess you would call it nerve-wracking.
At least,
yeah. And, you know, you really don't think about things, you know, like this. You see things like this on TV and you go, ha, yeah, you know, right.
That's right.
This guy's crazy.
That's right.
This is going to happen.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, all of this stuff starts happening to us and we're like, you know, maybe there's something to this.
You've actually seen things move through the air like a soap dish, stuff like
I
that.
I was in the bathtub soaking.
Uh-huh.
And we had this garden tub, a big garden tub, and the soap dish was back behind me on the back side of the tub, and I was almost asleep. And all of a sudden, it went flying across the room and hit the wall and just shattered all over the floor. And, it scared me to death.
I'm sure.
And Tom jumps up out of the chair thinking, oh, no, she's fell or something's going on. And the soap dish is busted up all over the floor. And Tom says, well, what happened? I said, it just went flying.
How do you feel about this? Do you have any idea, feelings at all, even about what Sarah might want?
I don't know. It's just been so much has happened. And it's like, well, you know, why are you doing this? What do you want? Do you want to go home? What's the deal? I don't know if we're so open-minded now about all of this is that she's just finally able to communicate with somebody because she's been around for so long.
Are you religious folks?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
I mean, then a poltergeist, a ghost, you think Sarah is just unable to get
where she needs to go.
Where she needs to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, usually you hear about these things afterwards, not while it's happening. And this is happening to you all right now.
Yeah, it's happening to us now. And, you know, my son, we have like a little computer room, and we have sliding glass doors in that room. And my son stays up late at night on the computer, and he won't stay up late anymore. He goes to bed whenever I go to bed. I'm going to bed, Mom. I says, well, Kevin, I says, you know, go ahead and stay up. You know, no, I'm going to bed.
That's very un-kid-like.
Yeah, and, you know, he's almost 21.
But still, I mean, you say, go ahead and stay up. Nah, I'm going to bed.
I'm going to bed. And one morning he got up, and something had happened to us. So much has happened. And I got up, and we were telling the kids about it, and he looked at me, and he says, well, were you in my room shaking my bed to wake me up? And I said, no.
Huh.
He says, well, something shook my bed. And he says, I got up. He says, I thought you were in here. And I said, no, it wasn't me. And then he had a friend stay the night with us just recently this past week. And
right.
They were in there on the computer together. And all of a sudden we have this huge china cabinet in our dining room. And they kept hearing something hitting the glass of the, like knocking on the glass of the china cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they would get up and go, you know, go look, and there was nothing there. And then you could hear the door knobs rattling, and you'd hear, you know, nothing's there. And then we had this big screened porch. And the door opens and closes. It'll open, and you can hear it slam, open and slam.
Boy, this really does sound like the classic, you know, how they define a poltergeist.
Right. I mean, it's just really strange. And then what's so funny is, you know, he's almost 21. And, of course, he and his friend go in the room to go to bed, and my son has to go to the bathroom. Well, his friend says, I'm not staying in this room. He gets up and goes to the bathroom with my son.
Really? There is nothing, though, beyond sort of a poltergeist-like activity. In other words, nothing really ominous yet has happened, has it?
No, other than me getting where I couldn't get out of the bathroom, you know. I couldn't get out. I was on one side of the door, and Tom was on the other, and it wasn't locked,
and
I tried to push the door open, and I couldn't get it open, and so I started beating on the door, yelling for Tom. Tom, I can't get out. Get me out. And all of a sudden, the light goes off.
That's pretty freaky. The light goes off while you're locked in there?
Yeah. The light goes off in there, and I'm banging on the door with both hands, and Tom's pulling on the other, saying, let go. And I says, I'm not touching it. I said, it won't open. And then finally, he gave it a real big, hard pull, and it just let loose, and he went flying.
Oh, you guys have really got something in your home. Listen, we're at the bottom of the hour. Thank you for talking to me. I want you to put Tom back on the phone when I get back from the break, all right?
Okay, great.
All right, all excellent. Right. Thank you. Well, this is something going on right now in Florida. It's happening to Tom and his wife, his son. There's something in their house. Well, actually, we know that something is named Sarah James. He's a man of science, you know, he's a science kind of guy, he's a ham radio operator. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
There's something in Tom's house. Tom and his family obviously have something going on right now, something that calls herself Sarah James. Tom's actually seen her. Just a few more questions for Tom in a moment, because you don't frequently get to talk to someone who's got it happening to them right now. Back now to Tom in Florida. Tom?
Yes.
Okay. Just a couple more things. If you would go back, you described Sarah. Do it again, and give us absolutely as much detail as you can recall.
Okay, she looked completely human and normal, as though
solid,
like I like to call it, within that bag of salt water.
Okay, that's right.
And appeared to be about 4 feet tall, young girl, maybe 6 or 7 years old, long brown hair, and dark eyes. And was wearing what I would considered to be 19th century clothing that a young girl would wear.
Did she have any expression on her face?
Yeah, it was one of, I would describe as admiration, as she was looking at me.
Interesting. Admiration.
Yes.
Admiration. Have there been any messages written from Sarah other than her name?
No, nothing at all. But, you know, I continue to, as I say, have the one-way conversations with her and continue to ask her new questions, and hopefully we'll get more answers.
Is there anything at all that you can connect with her first appearance, the first time you all began to notice these things occurring, and anything that was going on at that time?
No, I can't. I can't. It was just a very sudden beginning, and it's totally baffling, you know. And like I said, I'm a scientist.
You've got a lot of ham gear there. You've got a lot of computers, obviously, and all the rest of, you know, any effect on any of the electronics, Tom?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I am going to be measuring electromagnetic effects here shortly.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, see what I can pick up, and still photography and video tape also.
Yeah, start running a tape.
Absolutely, and hopefully we can, you know, from a scientific standpoint, collect information and see what we have.
And these people who advised you, Tom,
yes.
What have they been advising you to do?
Well, once again, gave me the suggestions of videotape and electromagnetic measurements, the electronic voice phenomena recording.
Anything caught on that yet?
Well, I honestly haven't played anything back yet.
Okay.
It's been just talking and letting the recorder run, so we'll have to see what we may hear.
All right, buddy. Listen, I can't tell you how I appreciate this, and I would like to stay in touch with you on this story so that we can kind of follow it to whatever conclusion it might have.
Yes, because I don't think we're anywhere near that yet.
All right. Well, please thank your wife, and I thank you.
All right. It's been really nice talking to you, Art.
Good night, Tom. There you have it, folks. There's the experience of one man in Florida and his family with something that obviously is here, and I guess fairly obviously, from another time. Or still here. I don't know. I don't know which it is. Do you? Fascinating stuff. All right. While and before we leave the subject of amateur radio, as you know, last week, I hope you know anyway, last Saturday, I had a very great deal to say and did, I don't know, about an hour and a half on this coming wicked technological advance, you better put advance in quotes from my point of view, called BPL, or Broadband Over the Power Lines. It is a move of the Federal Communications Commission and certainly the power industry to put the Internet in every single wall socket in America. In fact, there have been a couple of presidential words about this recently, and presidential hopefuls have said words about it as well. While not specifically saying BPL, they're beginning to set target dates for the entire nation to be wired. Now, the trouble with, of course, the way they're going about this BPL business is that they're going to take everything roughly from 2 to 80 megahertz. Now, that includes, so that you understand, everything either including or just above the standard AM broadcast band, all the way up into the, near FM, near the FM band, and that would be inclusive of the entire shortwave band. All the emergency broadcasting that goes on, or a very great deal of it on HF frequencies, would be affected, degraded. Ham radio operators might turn out to be dinosaurs, along with CB operators and people who operate channel 2, 3, 4, 5, and even 6, and, you know, it's just going to wipe out so much stuff. And so before I said what I said last week, Amateur Radio Newsline, which is an interesting organization that does, reports of interest to amateur radio operators, and it's played back on repeaters and on the air in various places, they called me and they interviewed me. Usually it's the other way around. I'm usually giving interviews. In this case, they interviewed me on the subject of BPL, this horrid, onrushing phantasm of in my opinion, noise-making technology. Anyway, they interviewed me, and so I thought it might be interesting to play that interview for you. Here it is in its entirety.
Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 1389, with a release date of Friday, March 26, 2004, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A popular talk show host says no to BPL, and REACT gives its support to the Amber Alert system. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report Number 1389, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now from Charleston, West Virginia, with Jim Dameron, NATMW. I'm Jeff Clark, K8JAC. Well, if it did not know before, a large portion of the American public's now keenly aware of the danger that broadband overpower line internet access poses to the nation's emergency communications infrastructure. And you can thank radio talk show host Art Bell, W6OBB, and ARRL President Jim Haney, W5JBP, for bringing much of it to everyone's attention. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, had an opportunity to speak with the internationally famous radio talker and has the rest of the story.
From the high desert of the great American Southwest, a call to arms has been sounded. From his home base in Pahrump, Nevada, W6 Oscar Bravo Bravo, better known to millions of commercial radio listeners as Art Bell, has called on America to stand up and fight what he charges is the greatest threat to the nation's security, broadband over power line. Bell charges BPL will cripple the nation's emergency communications backbone, striking at the heart of homeland security. Bell picked up the charge against BPL during his radio show broadcast Saturday, March 20th, in which he introduced ARRL President Jim Haney, W5 Juliet Bravo Papa, to his audience. Haney and Bell pointed out the BPL interference threat extends far beyond the amateur bands. Both Haney and Bell warned that many police and fire companies, federal disaster agencies, and the FBI and military would be rendered helpless if BPL is rolled out across the nation. Bell says he's especially worried about the potential of another major attack against the United States and what BPL would do to our nation's ability to communicate.
The emergency communications, my God, aircraft, amateur radio, FEMA, any other emergency agencies that are going to have to rely on HF communications. We certainly can't depend on satellites. As a matter of fact, if we should get into a conflict, some sort of major conflict, the satellites will be the very first thing that will go. And minus satellites for communications, we're dependent on the good old-fashioned shortwave bands, VHF, UHF, the whole schmear, to keep our nation talking. And in a time of national emergency, we need to be able to talk to each other.
Bell says he's appalled at the behavior of the Federal Communications Commission. He says they're acting like cheerleaders instead of regulators. He charges corporate greed is driving BPL and ignoring the studies showing the technology as proposed on the HF bands won't work without causing massive interference.
I've always had the deepest respect for the Federal Communications Commission. However, I think that in recent years there have been a lot of changes at the FCC that include the fact that there aren't so many engineers at the commission any longer, but there are a lot of bureaucrats.
Bell says he believed after reading the Federal Emergency Management Agency's assessment of BPL that the findings would have been enough to shut it down.
FEMA filing was very strong. They essentially said, look, our receivers and transmitters are not going to be able to function with BPL in place, and they specified the power levels they would have to go to continue to communicate, and suggested the taxpayers wouldn't be able to afford such changes. So with that kind of filing, frankly, when it came out, I thought BPL was dead. Boy, was I wrong.
After doing more research, Bell says he decided to take the case to his listeners, and he says the only way to do it is to point out the risk to their safety.
I don't think we're going to combat it by saying, save ham radio. The public doesn't care enough, and I'm sorry to have to say that, but that's what I believe. I love ham radio. It's been my life. I've been a ham since I was 12. But the greater, larger American public just doesn't care enough about ham radio, and if they think they can, you know, plug in their computer to the wall and have instant internet, that's a more attractive idea to them than the guy down the block with the tower in the air.
Bell says his mission is clear.
I do a radio program on 500 radio stations nationwide, including the top 50 markets in the U.S., and I'm going to do everything I can to drive this home as hard as I can, that communications, and certainly ham radio is part of that emergency communications chain, there's no question about that, but emergency communications across the board are threatened by BPL.
Bell says all hams need to wake up and heed his call to action.
We have to get to the larger media in America, and as hams, we have to make the general public, underline the word general public, aware that our emergency communications are threatened. The American public remembers 9/11. The American public knows what the continuing threat is. We've declared war against terrorism. And why would we want to turn around and cripple our effective ability to wage war? And that's exactly what BPL is going to do.
Bell says if energized with information about BPL's risk to national security, millions of Americans can quickly become allies.
We need to get the word out to the general public and begin to have them write to their congressman, their senator. And that's the only approach that I see at this point with a juggernaut that is presently underway from the Federal Communications Commission and the industry. The only way we're going to stop it is to make the general public aware of the threat.
Bell says there are other issues, including interference to TV channels 2 through 6, residual noise to the AM radio bands, and virtual loss of CB bands used by the many truckers who listen to his show. He says there are also privacy issues, especially the potential of the government and large companies to track people and their habits and choices on a BPL system. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V in Philadelphia.
Bell currently hosts the weekend edition of Coast to Coast AM. He also indicates that his presentation on Saturday, March the 20th, was only round one. He's lining up other guests to talk about the BPL issues in the near future. To find out when, keep checking the show's website at
www.coasttocoastam.com, he was going to say. Well, there you have it. It's really weird to be interviewed. Really weird to be interviewed when generally you are the one doing the interviewing. It's very strange having the tables turned on you. Well, BPL. Now, why should the American public perhaps not want BPL? Well, are you concerned about our nation's emergency communications? You ought to be. We're in a war. We are in a war. These are people who just simply want to kill us. They don't want to talk to us. They don't want us to change our national policy. They want us dead. And therefore, we have to go after them. And this is going to be a rough fight. You know, this is the old fight to the death thing, right? And in that, we need to keep our emergency communications. So shutting them down or crippling them with something like BPL is just plain stupid. Hello? And then there is another issue, and that is once they have, you know, I don't think I'm that paranoid. Maybe a little, but once they have internet and electricity in every single wall socket in your home, then the first thing that's going to happen is there are going to be all kinds of appliance companies that are going to have your use reported back to them so they can better serve you. And that'll be the beginning of it. And, of course, any time you've got electricity and two-way internet, why, that would mean with the smallest little inconspicuous bug, somebody in Helsinki, Finland, could be watching or listening to everything you do in your home. If ever there was a path, an introduction, a welcome, a big brother into America, it would be the possibilities engendered by this technology coming at us at the speed of light, quite literally, I guess. And it would seem as though the Federal Communications Commission is cheerleading the event through the Bush administration's urgings, no doubt. But, you know, I think that it would be wise, in view of what we're sacrificing to achieve this dubious goal, it might be wise for us to stop. Wait. Take a look. Decide if it's really the right thing to do. After all, Japan tried it, and they threw it out. A whole lot of other countries tried it, too, and they tossed it out on its ear because it was interfering with everything. So I'm trying to raise your awareness about BPL, and I guess I'm asking you to simply write to your senator or congressperson, really just dash off a quick note and say, on this BPL issue, it's called broadband over power lines, please find a way to slow it down enough so we can study all of this much more carefully. And if we're making a mistake, then, you know, we might have a chance of deciding it's not such a good road to go down. And we might be making a mistake. I think there's enough weight over on the side of, hey, wait a minute here. Do we really want to trash all of the shortwave bands? Do we really want that technology in our home, whether we want it or not? I'm not so sure. And I love the Internet. I've got the Internet delivered in a million different ways here. But I really don't want it mixed in with my electricity in every wall socket in my home, throughout the walls of my entire home. I really don't want that. And while they say that this will be the grand, it'll just be the panacea that will bring broadband internet to the farthest reaches of our country, don't kid yourselves. That's what cable said. They said, oh, we'll bring perfect TV to the people out in the boondocks in the rural areas of America. Suddenly they will have. And this justified cable systems going up. Well, guess where they went up? Did they go up in the rural areas where the poor farmer can't see a good picture? No. They went up in the cities. Why? Because that's where the people are. That's where the money is. Follow the money, the old, trusted old saying, follow the money. Here, too, if you follow the money, the deployment of BPL is going to be in areas where there's lots of people. Because, you see, they have to put something on each transformer to get it to relay on down the electric line. So, kind of like cable, all of this is going to cost money to the infrastructure to put in. And so then, logically, where will they put it in? They're going to put it in where the people are. Where are the people? The people are in the cities. So, the advertisement that BPL is going to be the panacea for the poor guy in the country is just out to lunch totally. This, ladies and gentlemen, is going into the cities first. And I know many of you are in the city. So even if you're not a technology type of person, consider what it may mean to have a two-way internet in every electric socket you've got. So you've got electricity, two-way internet. Think of the possibilities. And remember that we're at war.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. from coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and we're about to enter the unscreened underbelly of the genetic pool of the United States. In other words, we're about to have open lines. Anything can happen. Absolutely anything. And that's up to you. So if you've got a story of high interest, a dramatic tale to tell of some sort, then we're about to come to you. That's what we're going to do. I do want to, again, because probably it will not be on the website after tonight, but I ran into one of the most profound things on the internet that I've run into ever on the internet. You know, it really is that good. It's called Riding Through Chernobyl, and it's about a young lady named Lena. She's don't know, she's very brave or very dumb or, I don't know. What she does is she rides through the dead areas, and I mean dead areas, the cities that house people, no longer the cities that people had to abandon instantly, or at least as soon as they were told to, around Chernobyl. And I guarantee that after you have taken this tour, there will be a profound effect on you. The photographs will have a profound effect on you. And you will think all kinds of things, like what man can do to himself, because these are staggering pictures, staggering. You will wonder about the use of nuclear power at any level. You'll at least wonder, and, you know, you'll just, it's a profound experience. Take my advice, and before this riding through Chernobyl thing goes off, you get on and take the tour. Trust me on this. Other than that, let's see what else is going on. White House in trouble on the 9/11 thing. Condoleezza Rice probably not going to testify. Gas prices. Oh, gas prices. Have you seen them? In California, they're headed rapidly now toward the $3 gallon. And when we're at these kinds of prices for gas at this time of year in summer, in the vacation period, which generally bumps another 5 cents or more, to the cost is just ahead of us. You know we're headed toward $3 a gallon. So I guess we're about to have some kind of gas crisis, it looks like. A whirling storm battered the coast of southern Brazil. This is a storm, shouldn't have even been there. It was a hurricane born off the coast of Brazil. They don't birth there, folks. They birth off the coast of Africa. But this one did. Defying the scientists who say it can't happen. In fact, down in Brazil, the scientists are saying it's not a hurricane. Our scientists here in the U.S. are saying, oh, yes, it is. At least Category 1, winds as high as 94 miles an hour. It has an eye. It has a traditional, from the satellite view, of a hurricane. And it has 90. Oh, it's a hurricane. It shouldn't be there, but it is there. And now in Brazil, it has killed. Our weather is, in fact, changing. So, no screeners, no safety nets. Let's rock. Hi there, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello, where are you?
I'm from Oregon. My name's Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Yes, and about that girl that rides her motorcycle through Chernobyl.
Oh, yes.
And it shows all the horrific damage just caused by that.
Just the barrenness of it, I think, is what got me.
Yeah, I was wondering, could there be some way that that video could be transmitted or relayed to the crazy leader of North Korea?
Hmm. Yeah, they ought to see it. In fact, every living human being should see this.
Yeah.
Until you see it, you don't really understand. I mean, when you begin reading things like, well, maybe a human could live in that area she's riding through in another 900 years, maybe. And then maybe in another, what, 80-some-odd thousand
years? Yeah, 85,000
years. 85,000 years, it'll be habitable again.
Yeah.
we don't have that much history.
Yeah, but there'd be no way to get him to, or be able to ship something like that over to him.
I, you know, it's on the World Wide Web, so yeah, they could get to it, but I doubt they're reviewing that kind of material. I think they're thinking more about causing that kind of effect, frankly.
Well, that's what I don't like to hear.
Appreciate your call, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
They probably are thinking more about causing that sort of thing. We talked about this, I don't know, a couple of weekends ago, and it is the opinion of most who study North Korea that they are crazy. Not just aggressive, not just fascist or communist, but crazy. Crazy, as in willing to die for what they believe. And they believe they are at war with us. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Mary from Bonners Ferry, Idaho.
Hi, Mary.
I took the ride through Chernobyl last night, and I was absolutely appalled.
Yes.
Barrenness. It was like I could hear the absolute silence there.
Yes.
And I can't believe that more people in this country, I live in a solar house, and why more people don't do that is amazing. It's so easy.
Well, not exactly. I mean, I do it too. I am off the grid. I have the capability here. You know, with solar and wind and battery banks and all of that. But the fact of the matter is, Mary, it's rather expensive for the average person. And the return on it, you can't expect, if you expect one at all, it's not going to come for many years. I think the bigger question might be, Mary, why aren't we making it affordable? Why aren't we mass producing solar panels and making them cheap and really available? Then you'd have something going.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you very much. The average person has got to be able to afford this technology. And if ever there was a good reason to give a subsidy for something, tax breaks, and, you know, it's common knowledge that there are some given, but I mean more tax breaks, whatever it takes to get people to begin to en masse purchase the solar panels and inverters and the kinds of things that will, at least, at the very least, augment the power we use. These are just duh, obvious steps. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hey, I live in Pahrump.
You live in Pahrump?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I love your show, and I love your radio station.
Thank
you. A lot of people may not know that you have your own radio station. It's my kind of music.
We do. KNYE 95.1 here in Pahrump. Every chance I can get to do that, 100.1 in Las Vegas. Just love promoing the station.
Things that go prump in the night.
That's it.
Hey, listen, I got an experience. And first off, I want to tell you that before this experience, I was agnostic and probably more atheist than agnostic. I lived in L.A. in 1980, in Manhattan Beach specifically, and we had a party around Christmas, a few days before Christmas, and the easiest, quickest way to get to Linwood, where the party was straight down Imperial Highway. Well, if you go down Imperial Highway, you go through South Central L.A., which is a pretty rough part of town.
Sure it is.
But I left during the day, so I wasn't too concerned. Well, when I left, there was a little bit of fog in Manhattan Beach, not much. I drove all the way there, no problem, went to the party, left about 2, and it was the thickest fog out that I'd ever seen. I've lived in Frisco, up and down the coast. I mean, you couldn't see 20 feet in front of you.
Been there, yeah.
Yeah, I pulled in this restaurant parking lot and sat there, kind of waited out, I guess, and it wasn't going to go nowhere. So I took off, and I'm going down Imperial Highway. And it was, you know, you're doing like 20, 30 miles an hour. There weren't too many cars on the road, but I was following one, kind of following his taillights. And then he pushed on his brake lights, and I noticed that there was a red light on the stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there, and I noticed a little movement in the rearview mirror. And then I looked over suddenly to my left, and there was a guy standing there. And he had a blue bandana around his face. And he looked at me, and I said, oh, boy.
You mean like a highway robber?
Yeah. And
yeah.
He says, yeah, can you give me a ride? And I said, sure. And I'm thinking, well, as soon as it gets in front of me,
Excuse me, you said sure?
Sure.
A guy with a bandana on his face, and you say sure?
Well, what are you going to say?
Oh, well, all right.
So then about that time, he reaches in and shot me right in the chest.
He shot you? Well, that's why you don't let people with bandanas in your car.
He didn't get in the car. He just said that for whatever reason. He just said that and then he shot me. And it landed right under my heart.
The bullet.
Blood started going everywhere. So by this time, the car was gone in front of me, and I took off, and I was trying to remain calm. I didn't want to go into shock or anything, and I'm thinking, wow, blood just splitting out. And I made it. I was going to try to make it towards home. I'd have never made it. But I'm driving down the road, and you know all these signs that say emergency room that you never pay attention to?
You were seeing them. Yeah, you were paying attention.
Well, not really. But this big beam of light was shot right towards this sign. I would have never seen it. My head would not have shown it, would not have lit it up. This big beam of light.
Lights up this. My God.
Went up. It said emergency room, and it had an arrow going to the left. This was like an Imperial and Wilmington, and then going west. And it was Martin Luther King Hospital. If you're going to get shot or stabbed, that's the place to go, because they got a trauma center on standby.
Holy smokes. What's your first name again?
Steve.
That's an incredible story. So you were shot. It was near the heart. How did you make out?
Well, I drove. I saw a sign, and I thought, well, hell, that's probably a pretty good place to go right now. And I drove down there, and I parked right in front of the double doors and went crashing through. And just that was the last thing I remembered till I woke up.
And so they successfully retrieved the bullet. You're alive, telling the story.
They left the bullet in. They said it would have done more damage if they'd have gone in and tried to get it out. But they were able to open me up and suture the.
Okay, what about the masked man that shot you? Did they catch anybody?
Nah, it was. They got so many shootings down there.
Why did they? Why were you shot? I mean, usually it's a carjacking or something, right?
I had a brand new Chrysler.
Oh.
And, you know, all he had to done was say, hey, man, I want your car.
Yeah, yeah.
Point the gun at me, and I just thank God he didn't shoot me in the head. But, you know, just an instant before he shot me, he turned his head to the left like he didn't want to see the blood.
Yeah.
He was going to pull me out of that car, leave me right in the middle of the highway, Imperial Highway, and jump in my car and go. And I've often wondered what he thought when he saw me driving down. He probably thought he missed.
Yeah, he probably did.
If I hadn't seen that sign with that big beam of light that came out of nowhere, I would have never made it.
I'm with you, Steve. All right, that's an incredible story, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, take care. That's an incredible story. Shot in cold blood. And for I guess probably as part of what would be carjacking or something. Wow, what a story. And a beam of light down on emergency room to the left. I wonder who does the intervention. Don't you? Who is it intervening in those kinds of cases? Who would that be? Would that be an angel? Would that be a relative of yours now passed on? Would that be God? Many possibilities. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Michael in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hello, Michael.
Art, I know that it's natural to give extra time to people who have a nice, interesting story to tell.
That's how it works.
But I hope you won't give short shrift to what I'm about to say.
Qualify yourself. Is it interesting?
Well, it's very emotional, so it's going to be a little difficult for me.
Well, do your best.
It has to do with your interview with David Rice Bannon.
Oh, yes.
I was blown away by that interview.
So was I, for the record.
And
I walked out every break, and I said, my wife is here, and I said, holy something or another. This guy's for real. We're talking to the real McCoy here. That's how it hit me. I mean, there was no question about it.
No question about it. The man is sincere.
Yeah.
But emotionally, this has turned my life upside down.
How so?
Well, the statistic that he brought up, he said there are 268,000 children that are the victims of these monsters in the United States every year. He said that 10% of the children that are abducted in the United States end up in overseas sex slave markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he asked the question, he said, why Bosnia? I'm paraphrasing him. I don't remember exactly. Part of it may be what went through my mind, and part of it what he said.
Well, just tell me, what did he say that?
Well, he said, why Bosnia? Why Afghanistan? Why Iraq? And why not Thailand, where our children are going as sex slaves?
I agree.
Give me a minute here. This is rough. We've got to nail the statistics down. We've got to do a program where you bring somebody. You can't have just one witness on this. We've got to nail these statistics down. Where does the 10% fall? Is it 10% of 268,000? Is it 10% of a lesser number? What is the number?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be so concerned with numbers, are you? If it's one, it's too many. If it's one, it's too many. And we know it isn't. We know it's many, many, many. And the whole, I mean, what Dr. Bannon was saying was that in a case of that severity, the ends justify the means, the ends being the liquidation of people involved in that trafficking. And I must say that I was extremely conflicted, and I imagine many of you were out there, myself, about the whole thing. On the one hand, you don't ever really want to justify vigilante justice. But on the other hand, if anybody ever deserved such thing, and I'm not suggesting they do, then it would be a case of that sort. So whether it's one or many more than that, which of course we know it is. We've got to get to the bottom of it. We've got to get it stopped. You're on the air, West of the Rockies.
Oh, hi, Art.
Hello.
I love that poltergeist story, and that's really happening right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, there was another guy I flat out believed, period, it's going on, it's happening. That's pretty interesting.
Very interesting. I had a very weird happening when I was in the military 30 years ago, and I was in a haunted room in a barracks, and didn't realize it until I finally things got so bad that my roommate, another woman, had walked in, saw a look on my face, and asked what was wrong, and I told her, and
what was happening?
Well, at that particular moment, I had been napping after work. It was early evening, and it was dark, sort of winter time. We were on a temporary hold between boot camp and school.
Hmm. Yes.
We had gotten out of boot camp right before the holidays, and we were just being held there.
Normally a time to rejoice.
But this is such an odd place. It was Cape May, New Jersey, during hurricane season. And it was just a weird place.
Well, did you ever see things moving through the air, the kinds of things that he talked about?
No, but stuff would move around in the room.
Oh, well, that's that qualifies, you see.
But you wouldn't. I never saw anything move, and I don't believe she told me that she saw anything move either. But when she had walked into the room, and we started to tell each other about what had been happening for the past 3 or 4 weeks to each of us individually in this room, I had been taking a nap, and I woke up, and you know how sometimes you're paralyzed, but your eyes are open?
Yes. Hold on, we're here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back and finish this up from the high desert in the middle of the night.
Now, the mist across the window hides the light. everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And that would be me. And this evening, it would be you as well. Open lines, anything you want to talk about, fair game. We'll be right back. Kind of interesting. Look who's going to be on The Sopranos. Frankie Valli. Frankie Valli is going to be on The Sopranos. He, of course, rode the charts with hits like Sherry, Walk Like a Man, Ragdoll, theme song from Grease. A lot of talent there, and also a lot of natural talent, because he grew up in Newark, New Jersey. And I spent several years in Newark myself, and I can tell you, Newark, I worked a long, long, many, many years ago for International Telephone and Telegraph, AT&T in Nutley, New Jersey, and I lived in Newark. And, of course, that's generally, you know, where this is all set. And Newark is an interesting place. I mean, the guys are there. There's no question about it. And they're represented pretty well by The Sopranos. Anyway, Frankie Valli is going to, he's going to be a bad guy, I guess. Okay, back, where were we?
West of the Rockies.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. West of the Rockies, all right. No, in the story, I meant.
Oh, I was taking a nap. I woke up, but my eyes were open, but nothing else. I couldn't move anything else, but I could see the light under the door. The room was dark, and I was listening to the guy on the, you know, the PA system. Well, you know how they do in the military. They're always calling over the PA.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, it's like a scene out of The Exorcist. Now, I'm alone in the room. My roommate is still at work. And the bed starts to, well, the first thing that happens is that a jet, like you're right underneath a jet airplane engine, roaring in my head, and vibrating, just tremendous noise, just really frightening
yes,
noise.
Yes.
And then the vibration starts to move. I didn't really feel it in my body, but my body was actually moving, or I don't know if it was my body, my physical body, but whatever, moving like in The Exorcist, up and down in the bed.
You know, and I can tell you what was happening to you. You were having an OBE.
Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't find out until I had heard about OBEs and had done a lot of reading about them, but I didn't know about that vibrational state.
Yeah, that's it. All right. You were having one. And if you, they tell me, because I can't muster up the oomph to do it.
It's so scary.
No, well, that's right. It is frightening. They tell me, though, that if you can conquer that fear and then just sort of go, you know, with the flow, that you're going to leave your body and have a wonderful experience.
Well, in subsequent years, I've had 3 or 4 out-of-body experiences that were not like that one, different techniques. But this was, I felt as though someone were dragging me out of my body against my will, is what I felt.
Well, basically, that's what was happening.
And so she comes in the room right after that, and I'm sitting in the bed in the dark, and that scared her. So she wanted to know what happened, and I told her. And then she goes, oh, my God. And she starts to tell me about what's been happening to her in the same room for the past few weeks.
Oh.
And I started saying, oh, you too, because, you know, we hadn't said anything to each other because, you know, it just, all the stuff that was happening was so crazy.
Maybe there was something in that room that wanted you out of your bodies. Perhaps it wanted possession.
Like, for instance, you're sitting on a cot, you're reading a book, and all of a sudden you hear this bizarre music wafting in from the window on the wind. Not the kind of music that anybody was listening to.
Yes.
You know, it was mostly young people. Maybe 10 rooms in this whole barracks were occupied listening
sure.
to rock and roll.
Sure.
But music like, I don't know, like some bad movies idea of religious harp music or kind of chanting or, you know what I mean?
I guess I do, yes.
Well, like monks or something like that or harp music or Middle Eastern kind of,
okay.
You know,
mood music.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you hear your name spoken.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just real clear as a bell. And then you look around and you look out the window and there's nothing there but the sea and the sand, you
well,
know?
That was pretty interesting. And that
very
happened
bizarre.
Both of you. All
so,
right. Oh,
anyway, it gets weirder than that.
Okay, go.
So after we tell each other about these weird things that happened to us when we were alone in the room, this phenomena began while we were together in the room, while we were talking.
What?
The wall behind her cot, which is on the opposite side of the room from me, began to breathe with this male,
oh.
Like, you know how a man oh. sounds when he's sleeping? He's
yes. Breathing walls are not good.
Like a sighing sound.
Yeah, in the movies, they have breathing...
I know, it just sounds like a bad movie.
Well, no, they have breathing doors, you know, where the door kind of breathes in and out. You know,
yeah.
The wood is like putty or something.
Isn't that
oh,
ridiculous?
God.
It was just frightening. And so, of course, you know, both of us are just ran out of the room, you know, was screaming down the hallway. The
well,
master at arms comes to investigate.
Oh.
He goes in. He comes screaming out of the room.
Yeah.
Now everybody's in it, and everybody tries to go in and see if they can hear the breathing wall.
Oh.
And it only happens when, like, there's one or two people, but not a group.
Yeah.
And the next, I don't know, somebody brought a crucifix from their grandmother and hung it in there trying to get rid of the evil spirits.
And?
The last I heard... They never allowed anybody to occupy that room again.
Oh, well, there's a pretty cool story. All right, military story of a haunting. Interestingly, experienced by two. Master Sergeant probably went out shaking his head, wondering why did we put women in. I'm kidding. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling about, you had a person... that was on your program about two nights ago who was talking about people with six fingers. Do you remember about that? The giants that came and bred with humans?
Yes.
Okay. I had a question. Have you heard of any people with six fingers?
Yes.
Okay, I have too. I knew someone.
Are you one of them?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. But I knew someone who knew a person. He's passed away since then. But I don't know about the person. I think the person with six fingers has as well. He was a giant. He said he was huge. And I never, when I heard the story on the radio, I remembered the story that my friend had told me. He was a giant, and he had six fingers, and he had a very bad temper.
Mm.
And
hell of a fist.
Yeah.
Six fingers.
Yes.
I wonder what you could do with a sixth finger that, you know, five
You know, I
person.
Sat looking at my hands after the show and
yeah.
wondered about, well, what, there's only one thumb, right?
Well, why do we only have
one,
five?
One thumb I mean, and five fingers?
Well, no, there's four fingers and one thumb. I mean, normally.
I know, but a person with six fingers.
Oh, I see.
Where's
yes.
the sixth finger?
Well, I guess the sixth finger would be, well, let's see, where would it best be? Well, it could be in between the thumb and the first finger there. There's plenty of space in there. Or it could be off the side of the fifth pinky, you know. I mean, that's harder. No, I'd rather go for the area between the thumb and first finger. I mean, there's a natural area there. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess. I just wanted to comment on that. I just wanted to share that with your audience.
Do you ever wonder if we can genetically manipulate? We can do things like that. I mean, like, even add another arm, another finger.
I was just curious about what, why are some people being born? I mean, is this a genetic?
Probably. Yeah, probably a genetic thing. I appreciate the call. One day we're going to be able to design human beings. And so I personally feel that the design of the human back could stand some reinforcement, that the vertebrae is not sufficiently strong to support the average person. Hence, you have many people like myself with back trouble. So I'm going to lobby for redesign of the back area. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How are you?
All right, sir.
I wanted to talk about BPL.
Oh, broadband over power lines.
You
yes.
bet. You talked about the emergency services being knocked out if this came on.
Yes.
During the Columbine shooting in Littleton,
mm-hmm.
it took very little to knock out our emergency communications. You could not use cell phones.
Yeah.
You could not use all the emergency communications were tied up.
I know all this. I mean, 9/11. Look at when the buildings
oh, yeah.
went down. So all the cell phones,
sure.
pooey. They
and
just
this,
went.
You know, and we're talking before 9/11, and we're talking about a rather small scale thing. I mean, ham operators were being used for health and welfare. I went over to the Red Cross essentially and spent several hours down there. With my 2-meter radio.
You're darn right.
Yeah, because I had to. Now, you're talking about something that's going to wipe out all communications, and let alone ham radio or anything else, even though it will hurt it and hurt it badly. This scares me because we're in a war now.
Yeah, how smart is this at a moment when you're in a war, at a moment when you're going to obviously need a really good chain of emergency communications. How smart
it's not
is it?
Smart.
No, it's not smart at all.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm surprised that some of the big broadcast companies aren't fighting this a little more.
Yeah.
Because they own several AM stations in a market. It amazes me that they're not trying to fight this.
The whole thing is insane to
it
me.
It is.
And why not just look at the countries that have tried it and tossed it out on its ear?
That is what blew my mind. I didn't hear the full interview last week, but I heard what you had to say today. And just wait a minute, if they've thrown this out, why aren't people listening? But
there's only one hope.
Yeah.
And I've been a little rough on ham radio in that sense by saying that, you know, look, the public doesn't give enough of a damn about ham operators.
But you're right.
But for their own reasons, and they got plenty of them.
Oh, sure.
They ought to be writing their Congress people, their senators, and saying, look, at the very least, let's slow down and quit cheerleading from government for something before we've fully investigated it. And let's see if it's really going to hurt us more than it's going to help us.
And, you know, I agree with you about ham radio, Art. I really do, that not enough people care. But if we really are in a war and if something happens, and God only knows what can happen.
Well,
in this situation, many things could happen.
Yes, and
but,
not only can, but will. It's just a matter of when.
And you're going to need ham radio for part of the communication. As I say, it took the Columbine shootings to just disable all sorts of communications here.
Well,
in,
that's just
in
the most recent example, sir. Look, whenever there's a terrible hurricane or a terrible earthquake, any major disaster, all the news services always get the first word and will quote, you know, amateur radio operators were heard to report or heard to say that blah, blah, blah is true or has happened. It's always the first communications out of anywhere. But this BPL, this broadband over the power lines, will not be stopped by ham radio, even though it's going to disable or destroy it, along with CB radio and all the other shortwave things that are in there. It's going to be an intrusion into your home, a potential terrible intrusion into your home. It's going to be the beginning of the real Big Brother. Just track with me here. Internet in every single wall socket in your home. Think about what that means. Sheesh. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
Yeah. I was telling you earlier about Billy the Kid. You told me to hold on.
Yeah, I did. But go ahead. Billy the Kid. What about Billy?
Okay, well, they're supposed to be, there's a sheriff of Tabaka County. Can I say his name?
Well, it's not necessary.
He's a sheriff at Dabaka County,
yes.
And he's getting a court order to exhume the grave. It's been on the news all over the country the last couple of weeks. And I think the reason why they're doing it is because there's always been people that were close to Billy that claimed that was not him that Pat Garrett killed, that the whole thing was staged so the Calvary and everyone else would quit looking for him.
Really?
I wish you could get the sheriff as a guest.
The sheriff is asking for the body to be exhumed so they can straighten out whether that's really the body of Billy the Kid?
Right, because apparently they're getting the DNA from his mother.
Really?
So I think she was buried in Silver City, New Mexico. And then there's two guys that claimed to be Billy the Kid in 1950 when they were like 92 years old and get ready to die.
Right.
Did you know about that Brushy Bill Roberts?
No, I didn't follow the story, but that's fascinating.
Okay, now, did you see the movie Young Guns and Young Guns 2?
Yes, Young Guns I saw, yes.
Okay, well, in Young Guns 2, it starts out in 1950, and this actually happened in 1950. This 92-year-old guy comes out of the desert, and he met an attorney, drives up in a 1949 Chevrolet, and he's getting ready to die, and he wants to go before the New Mexico governor to get the pardon that Governor Wallace promised Billy the Kid in 1881 if he would turn state's evidence against the bad guys, you know, the Lincoln County War. And he had several older people that identified him, the real Billy the Kid, but he was not given his pardon. So anyway, I guess they're trying to settle this once and for all, but I wish you, and I think there's a lot of your listeners out there, would wish that you could get the sheriff of Dabaka County as a guest on your show.
All right, suggestion noted. Has anybody noticed that Westerns are coming back? Have you noticed, in fact, with a vengeance, all of a sudden we're beginning to get Westerns again? I think it's great. You seen the one on HBO yet? They kind of hope to follow up the Sopranos with their new hit. Oh, gosh, what's the name of that? Ramona's going to come in, rushing in here any moment now and tell me. At any rate, Westerns are definitely... What was that? Yell it again? I get a yell 6 seconds later, you know. Yes?
Deadwood,
thank you. That's the HBO hit, Deadwood, and it's I've yet to decide about it. There was a fair amount of gratuitous violence in it. However, there was a fair amount of gratuitous violence in Deadwood. We have a unique history in America, don't we, with our Old West. There is, I suppose, the samurai warrior in Japan might be a parallel of sorts. But, I mean, it is certainly our American Wild West, and Deadwood was right in the middle of that, does have a very, very unique history. And, of course, I'm in the Old West right here, in gold mining country, actually. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
This is Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Calling from East Texas, listening on San Antonio session.
A WOAI.
That's the one, yes.
50,000-watt laser beam from San Antone. Yes.
That's the one. Just a quick question and an idea. I've listened to the show a while now. I've been doing some surveillance work, and as you know, you listen to any kind of music, doesn't matter what kind, it'll put you to sleep after a while, but you
sure
listen to talk radio, it'll keep you awake.
Keeps your
anyway,
brain going, yes.
I've heard quite a few of your guests and callers talk about OBEs, but I've never heard anybody reference Jane Roberts or the Seth material.
The what?
The Seth material.
I guess I'm not familiar with it. What is that?
Well, she was a medium, I suppose, would be the way to explain it. Seth spoke through her in sessions, and her husband recorded everything. So I read quite a bit. I'm like, if I get interested in something, I try to get as much as I can, you know.
In other words, channeled.
Right,
yeah.
Channeling like that.
Channeling.
She had quite a bit of input on that, and
I have a comment about that. I've always been a Missouri kind of person. I mean, show me. If you've got things flying across the room, baby, you got something you can dig your hands into. If you've got a magnetometer readings, you've got something you can dig your teeth into. If you've got a photograph of a ghost, you've got something you can examine. If you've got a ghost voice on tape, you've got something that you can think about, listen to, and decide to attach credibility to or not. But I must say, and my very own sister, bless her heart, who's down now in Brazil with John of God, has had the days when she channeled, and I have great doubts about channeling. One, because it's there's nothing you can lay your hands on. The person apparently goes into a trance and then begins speaking in the language or the whatever of whoever they're channeling. And I don't know. There's just too much wiggle room for my comfort. Just too much wiggle room. And there's nothing there that you can really lay your hands on or say, you know, I saw this with my own eyes. Or I've got photographic or audio evidence. These are things at least we can examine and make judgments about. But channeling, I don't know. That doesn't mean it's not absolutely true and a valid phenomena. It just means that there's no way to really check it out. From the high desert, in the middle of the night, in the middle of open lines, this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell.
To Mel Gibson and the Coral.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Baby, we are on a ride. No question about that. All of us, and remember, the object is to go sliding in sideways, screeching and screaming and protesting and proclaiming it was a hell of a ride. I refer to the grave, of course. Good evening, Two-Way Talk Radio. That means you're one half of it, and we'll get back to you in a moment. Directly to the telephones. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Aaron. I'm a police officer in Ohio.
Aaron, and a police officer to boot, huh?
Yeah.
How's policing in Ohio? How's everything in Ohio?
Good so far, but I got a ghost story for you.
Oh.
About 4 o'clock in the morning one night, I got a call where there was an active burglary. And on my way there, I also hear that the resident has shot some shots into the basement because the person was trying to knock. The basement door is in their bedroom, and was awoken by some pounding and somebody trying to get into their bedroom.
Hmm.
And so when I get there, they say that they hear somebody run out the door. Well, the door never opened at all. And so I start searching around the house. There's no signs of forced entry, no signs on the doors, no broken windows. Go inside. The resident's got his gun still pointed towards the basement door. He's afraid something's going to come running out of there. And my backup arrives, and we start searching the house. Go downstairs, and there's a blood pile on the basement floor.
Oh.
And when we collect it and send it off to the crime lab, the DNA comes back, and they cannot identify the DNA at all.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
They couldn't identify the DNA. Now you've got my attention, my friend.
Yeah.
You've got my attention. They couldn't identify the DNA, you mean even as human or animal or anything?
No, it was just a blood pile. Maybe about 4 inches long, 5 inches wide.
Uh-huh.
Just piled up, probably about an inch thick.
And
the
what?
Bottom of the basement. And it wasn't, they could not identify it as human blood, animal blood, anything like that.
Uh-huh. But they were sure it was blood.
Correct.
Uh-huh. What's been done with these samples?
That I don't know. So, but the resident swears up and down that somebody was in their house.
Uh-huh.
Went down and checked all the doors. Everything was locked, bolted. And, you know, criminals usually don't lock the door on their way back out.
Oh, no.
So,
no.
There was no sign of anyone ever being in there. Nothing was gone. Nothing like that. They have dogs, and the dogs were quivering in a corner by the, just freaked out.
Oh, that's some story.
Yeah.
I sure would like to get my hands or have, you know, a further look into what would be blood but not animal or human. I mean, that really is intriguing.
Yes. Well, what's really intriguing is there's no other sign other than that right there that there was anything in there.
Yeah, but that's quite a large sign.
Correct.
That something was there, that much blood. I mean,
right.
How much blood would you have estimated that to be?
Well, like I said, it was about 4 inches long and about 5 inches wide and about an inch thick.
That's quite a bit of blood.
Yes, it is. But there's no way that anybody could have got in or out.
Here's what I would ask. If you could go down to the department, maybe the evidence room, whatever, I mean, surely somebody kept a little bit of such an interesting sample, you would think, you would hope. And could you find out for me if, in fact, they did? And if, in fact, they did, could you email me or get hold of me somehow?
No, I could try, but I personally can't get – the only person that can access that are the higher-ups. So.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the higher-ups. Well, do your best, if you would, please. I mean, that's totally fascinating, and I sure would like to have a scientist take a look at some of that blood if they've got any left.
Sure.
Thanks for the story.
No problem.
And I'll look forward to, that's interesting. And I would look forward to the follow-up. Blood, that much blood, but not animal, nor is it human. What does that leave? If it's not animal, it's not human, what does that leave? A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I was calling you about your BPL antenna. And I have some good advice for everybody.
First of all, it's not my BPL antenna.
BPL is... Yeah, what you've been talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
But anyway, I got a hold of all our congressmen and senators. And then everybody can call their federal information number. They can get the numbers to the White House, and they need to bombard the White House.
There's no other way.
Yeah.
I mean, what they're getting ready to do is just... It's beyond all reason and belief.
Well, I sent a fax to GW myself, and I sent the article in the paper.
George W. Bush?
Yeah.
You know George Bush?
We're related.
You're a relation of George?
Yeah. But anyway.
Could you mention something about the gas prices?
Yeah, I already did. But anyway, I explained to him about what it would do. Okay? I said, I don't think that they have told you everything. And so I explained it to him and just left it at that.
Well,
and so
boy, a big thank you. Do you think
everybody can do this? I mean,
I know, but not everybody's related to the president. Do you think?
Well, we're all related to each other. We're all Abraham's kids.
Well, but you're closer.
Yeah, but anyway, the thing is that you can call your federal information number. You can get his fax number right to the Oval Office. He reads all his faxes.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. So anyway, that's a good thing for you to do. And
that's hard to believe. I mean, I can barely read all my email, and I'm just a talk show host.
Well, anyway, that's just the idea I have. I mean, you know, he likes to hear from the people, so that's a good thing to do.
All right. Well, listen, hang in there, and thank you a million. The BPL issue is a gigantic issue, and so any help from any of you that we can solicit. And at this point, you know, we're asking, I think the right thing to do is to ask that, look, please stop the headlong rush into something before we understand the consequences. When you're tampering with something as precious as the nation's frequencies, our air, and that is precious, it really still is extremely precious from a national security point of view and a lot of points of view. Stop and find out if you're about to make a big mistake, and it won't hurt to take a little extra time to examine if perhaps the Japanese, who are not exactly technological slouches, didn't kick this out of their country because they just felt like it. They had a very good sound technological reason to boot it out. We should look at that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, this is Chuck.
Well, this is Art.
That's good.
How you doing, Chuck?
I'm pretty good. I'm in Akron, Iowa.
Okay.
And I grew up in Southern California, a little town called Lomita.
Oh, yes.
And I was in about the fourth or fifth grade. And it was about October. We had a new student come in. Right away, the other kids didn't like her. And we were out at recess, and a bunch of kids, mostly boys, were even running up and hitting her. Well, I couldn't go for that. I got right in front of them. I was kind of a quiet kid, you know. So I got right in front of them, and I stopped them. I told them, anybody tries to hurt her, it's going to have to answer to me. Hmm. Now, the problem was that she's just a little bit different. She had six fingers on her both hands and her both feet.
Yep.
And one of the teachers.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Where was the sixth finger? We were discussing that a little while ago about where a sixth finger would be in the scheme of your hand. Where would it be?
It was where your little finger is. It was just after that.
Okay. All right.
And anyway, I got called into the office, and actually escorted into the office by the teacher who was on the duty, and the principal started to yell at me, and I said, wait a minute. I said, you don't have all the facts. I said, the boys were attacking the girl, and I stopped him. And I said, if I have to get out, you know, attack you to stop hurting the girl, I will do that too.
Mm.
And the principal just smiled at me. Says, good. I'm hoping somebody would step forward to help this girl out because she is different.
Well, I'm glad you did that. I don't see what the big deal is anyway. So what if somebody, but kids, I guess, are really mean, aren't they? But basically, so what if somebody has six fingers? So what? It's just, are we really? I guess the answer to that question is, yes, we really are. I had an email yesterday that I just, it's like, oh, man. Stone Age people. Basically, this email said, you know, kill all the blacks, kill all the Jews. Hey, Art, you know it's the right thing to do. This kind of email. And when I see something like that, I wonder how far have we really come very far? I mean, how many of these people are there? We had the Nazis, right? And do you ever wonder, could that happen again? Well, maybe it could, because we have people who will discriminate against other people to the point of final solutions because they're different in some way, either religiously or physically or whatever, some difference. And so if you're not like every other human, with the five digits upon each hand, well then, you know, you're in for getting beatings or whatever. And if that's still really true, then how far have we come? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, Art.
And to you, a good morning.
You're sounding good.
Thank you.
Anne here in New Mexico, KKOB.
Oh, yes.
Pretty strong signal.
Pretty strong. 770, 50,000 watts,
yeah,
the equivalent of WABC back east,
yeah.
A gigantic radio station.
Well, maybe a blowtorch, but there's always that music, you know, in the background, and it fades in and out a little bit.
Yes. Well.
Is it open topic tonight?
It is.
You know, I wanted to find out the name of the man that you interviewed on a BPL. Was it Jim?
Haney.
How do you spell that?
I believe it's H-A-N-I-E, I believe.
Well, that was a really good interview and pretty scary, too.
Yes.
I mean, Japan and five other countries. Come on, you know, wake up, right?
Well,
Washington, D.C.?
Yes, wake up indeed. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of corporate interests, you know, power companies think this is a way to fast money, or our government thinks it's a way to fast mass communications. But look here, there are possible consequences to what they're about to do. They involve our national security in a moment when we are at war. Let's slow up a little.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the reason why I call, for me, I don't listen to shortwave or computer, and TV or computer, and I just have a shortwave. So I was listening to a talk show the other day.
Yes.
And a caller noted that there were 911 days from 9/11/2001 leading up to 3/11.
Yes.
2004. Did you hear about that?
I've heard it mentioned.
Yeah. Now, do you think there's some significance to that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, humans give significance to numbers. Whether numbers on their own have significance or not, I haven't made up my mind about that one. But, you know, we celebrate anniversaries, and we do that in some cases by having violence and killing people on anniversaries of certain things. So, yeah, we attach importance to numbers.
Well, here, I want to say, I want to continue this. Knowing the significance given to the numbers 6, 11, and 13, or multiples thereof by the occultic controllers, you know, who are trying to phase in this new world order. I continued counting the days leading up to 6/6/2004. And guess how many days there are
how
up
many?
To that day? 999.
Okay. Well, all
is that
I
a coincidence
you,
or what? Well, I mean, what would you call that?
Possibly a coincidence, but probably not.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say this to you. You're a shortwave listener, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, try and imagine if you were trying to listen to shortwave and all you could hear is... That's what BPL is about to bring us, my dear. And so the shortwave broadcasters ought to be real concerned, too. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Hi, where are you, please? Hello?
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Theo calling from Akron, Ohio.
Yes, Theo.
Okay, what I wanted to talk about is I was a young soldier going to Germany.
Yes.
In 1977. And instead of doing 3 years, I decided to do 2 years, and I brought my wife over.
Yes.
And I couldn't find an apartment, so somebody told me, said, go out to this castle. So I went out to the castle. They had a nice room and a little small apartment there. And so everything was, and I brought my wife over. Everything was nice. And for about 5 to 6 months, then we had problems.
What kind of problems?
Okay, the problems were my uniforms sometimes would be moved from where I put them to another place.
Mm.
I shine my boots every night. And when I wake up in the mornings, they're wet like they've been through the fog and mud and everything.
That's interesting.
And one day, I found a iron cross sitting on the table right next to where my bed was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, what in the world is going on, you know? And then things started flying around, and my wife said she was scared to stay there during the day while
I was gone. You also saw things flying through the air?
Yes, I did.
I find that very impressive. I don't know why. It's just there's something about things flying through. Things don't do that, period.
And then one day we were at home, and talcum powder, we were sitting on the bed talking, and talcum powder started flying through the air.
Hmm.
But this is the one thing that got us, that made us move, Art. is I went down to the local guest house and to pick up some good German beer.
Yes.
And I took my time. I came back, and my wife was laying on the bed. She was crying. Oh, just yelling, crying. And I said, "What's wrong, baby?" You know. And she said, "Something is making love to me, and it hurts." Something is making love to me, and it hurts. It's having sex with me.
Yeah.
So I grabbed her, and I put my arms around her, and I held her. And eventually it went away. But she was saying that it did penetrate and make love to her.
Look, I'll tell you what. You know, it's hard. I guess it's hard to talk about because it's radio, right? We're doing a radio program. But last night's guest, who was a remote viewer, and countless remote viewers before him, and countless others who have talked about poltergeist, ghost activity, and possession, weaving its way through all of this. And at a level that we really can't talk about on the air, there really is an awful lot of sexual content to this whole thing. I mean, more than I ever imagined when I first began investigating the paranormal. I'm coming to realize that there really is a gigantic sexual aspect to it. From out-of-body experiences to remote viewing, in which those who practice constantly are reporting sexual liaisons with partners with perhaps who they know, or in many cases who they don't know, as in the case of the phone call you just heard. In other words, there really is an awful lot more sex involved in all of this than I had ever realized. And I think that is worth noting and maybe calling attention to. It's just one of those things that because it's radio, it's kind of hard to talk about without it sounding somewhat gratuitous. But it's not gratuitous. I'm telling you that wrapped in the paranormal, I'm beginning to get more and more reports of sexual contact. So I guess we need to sort of bridge the gap a little, and even if it sounds a little gratuitous, and I don't know how it cannot, explore the whole thing and find out what really is going on here. Why is there such a sexual content to paranormal occurrences? Is it because it's such a powerful, basic human drive? I guess that might be it. It's certainly prevalent on this side, so why not the other side as well? From the high desert in the middle of the night, this is Coast to Coast AM. Music you have, you want to have drifting through your window.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Numbers. That's always been very interesting. There are many, many people across the Internet, across the world, who follow the significance of numbers, and I've not yet made up my mind whether they actually have independent significance or whether we simply attach significance to them. Either way, I suppose that makes them important. Once again, a leap into the gene pool. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. This is Marty from Alabama.
Marty?
Yes.
All right, Marty.
I'm calling about the six-finger people.
Oh, yes.
We used to have a piano on the porch when I was young, and it was a screened-in porch, and every moment I could be out there, I was out there banging on that piano. And one day I saw a lady coming down the street adjacent to us, and she was on foot walking. She was wearing a dress kind of like Donna Reed, you know, with the belt and everything.
Yes.
And she was at a distance, so I really didn't pay any attention, but within a few minutes she was at our door, and we lived in it had a fence around the property. She had come through the fence and was standing at the screen door looking at me. And then I noticed her, and I stopped, of course, suddenly stopped playing the piano, and she said, "May I come in?" And I said, "Yes." And she came in. She came over to the piano and sat down beside me.
And she knocked out some jazz like a five-fingered person could never do, right? Yeah, well, I guess a six-finger would come in handy for that. I'm ruining your story. Did she really knock out quite a tune there?
Well, you know, she sat down and she started talking to me, and I could not take my eyes off her. She was so beautiful.
Ah.
I mean, she was just, her skin was so perfect. She was just so beautiful. And then she asked me, you know, if how long I'd had lessons or what. I said, I'm just playing, you know, pretending.
Yes.
And she said, "Well, would you like for me to teach you something?" And I said, "Sure, I would love that," you know, and she played something that was so, you know, I mean, it sounded like, you know, Bach or something.
Yes.
To me at that time, I have no idea what it was, but that's when I noticed that she had an extra finger on each hand, both hands, not just one, like it was some accident, you know, but.
Well, all right, once again, was this sixth finger, a digit that began after the little finger?
Yes.
Oh, it was, okay.
And they looked natural, unless you were just looking, because her fingers were so elegantly long and thin.
Made for a piano.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And she asked me if, you know, if she could teach me something a little easier. What did I know that I, you know, the words to that she could play for me, and I told her Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Mm.
And so she taught me how to play that song with just in a few minutes. And then she started, I asked her about her fingers. Of course, being, you know, 10 years old, you think you can ask people anything.
Yeah.
And she told me that she was supposed to be a twin and that she had extra fingers and extra toes. And that she had two of everything else.
Wow.
And I, of course, my eyes went right to her chest.
Wow.
Trying to see what extra stuff
I must admit mine would have, too.
And she said, "It's under my arm."
Okay, said, we shouldn't laugh here.
You know, I mean, it was just an extraordinary experience. I asked her when it was over, you know, and she was getting up to go. And two, she just smelled so good. Everything about her was so good.
Twice as nice.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, listen, I got to run. Thank you very much for that story. You would think, though, that a person with six fingers would absolutely have an advantage on a piano, wouldn't they? They'd knock out a tune that nobody else could quite accomplish. If it was a long and slender finger. Well, anyway, we will soon be doing that. All of humanity, I suppose, will have the opportunity to make custom babies. Now, would you have a custom baby? And if you did, in what way would you design your baby to be different? On one episode of Married with Children, Al once said that a man would need an extra arm, but that would be for dancing. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hi. My name is John.
Hi, John.
I live in Canada in a city just outside of Toronto called Pickering.
Pickering, Canada. Okay.
Yes. We have a nuclear power plant here in Pickering.
In Pickering?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, have you taken the stroll through the fast young lady on a bicycle yet?
Oh, no, on the website there.
Oh, you need to do that before
it's gone.
That's
something I'm very interested in doing, actually.
Yes.
I haven't seen too many strange things in my life. However, the one strange thing I believe I've seen has to do with this power plant.
Mm-hmm.
It took place maybe around 10 years ago, and I was coming back from downtown Toronto into my small town, and I'm driving on the floor or on the highway, and I notice a small cloud just over the power plant.
Oh.
And this is just at dawn. There's no other clouds in the sky. It's not raining or anything. And there's a lightning bolt starting just above the cloud.
Really?
And ending just below it.
Oh, no kidding.
And it keeps on repeating like that. And it didn't look like your regular lightning either. It was a small little bolt going through the small little cloud
that
over and over
again. That is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, and not only that, there was no thunder. I mean, and I wasn't the only one in the car that saw this. You know, I mean, it was one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
I can't imagine what would account for that.
Neither could I. Neither could I. But I'm assuming it must have had something to do with this power plant. And over the years, the power plant's been having some problems. I mean, they've been shutting down generators left, right, and center on this place.
Huh.
So, I don't know. I just thought I'd call and share that with you to see if anybody had any ideas what might cause that sort of...
I'm pleased you did. I appreciate the call. And again, while it's up there, don't... I'm telling you, this is something you don't want to miss. This will go down as this tour that you will take on coasttocoastam.com website will go down as one of the major impressions of your life. So you don't want to let that go. And it's probably going to be gone tomorrow. But I've had it up for you over the weekend. It's a young lady who takes a bike tour through Chernobyl. And it's so profound. I lived at Blue Ridge Summit, Pennsylvania, when Three Mile Island happened. And I well remember the media coverage because I was glued to my television and my radio when that occurred. I intensely remember the media coverage. And what I remember most about it was they kept saying, do not be concerned. Do not worry. Everything is under control. Well, nothing was under control, and they had a hydrogen bubble that had formed. The whole thing was very close to going up, but they kept telling us, don't worry about a thing. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
This is Jerry, and I'm calling from Olympia, and we listen to KVI.
KVI in Seattle, yes,
right.
Ma'am.
I was talking about Chernobyl. Just made me think of Joanna Macy. Are you familiar with her work?
I am not.
She's a deep ecologist, lives there in Berkeley, has written many books, was a professor there in one of the universities. And she and her husband have been going back and forth to Chernobyl for many years. Her husband is a psychologist, and they have gone there to help the people grieve and talk out their deep, deep, terrible trauma. She is just an amazing expert on Chernobyl. It would be really interesting for you to have her on your program sometime.
Put me in contact.
Okay, I will. I do know some people. She, she is from the San Francisco area and travels all over the world, but she and her husband have taken many groups to Chernobyl and work with the with the sorrow of the people of Chernobyl.
Mm-hmm. Please then put me in contact.
Okay.
I want to interview this young lady who does the fast bike rides through Chernobyl and take all those photographs. And I, as that, I'd like to interview your friend.
Yeah, she has such experience over all these years with them. But one of the things, that we need to be reminded of is, and I think of it here in the Northwest, we love our forests. Those people are forest people, and the elms of Russia, and they can never go into their forests again.
Mm-hmm. I know.
One of the things that Joanna Macy does is she plays, and she will, and you will love this, she plays a very simple song by, I think the young woman is a Latvian, and it's haunting. It's, and she calls it the Elm Dance.
Maybe that Elm Dance ought to be put in the website of Elena. That would be something to do, I suppose, although that would cost additional bandwidth. But it is so profound. What has happened to that portion of the Ukraine is just, you know, it's dead to us for the next 80,000 years, really, 85,000 years, longer than we can imagine, longer than we have history. Longer than, you just can't contemplate those kinds of time. But those are the things we are now capable of doing, rendering the earth in large proportion totally unusable. Dead zones. True dead zones. You've really got to go through that website before it's gone. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening. How are you today?
I am well, sir. And you?
Oh, not too bad.
Good.
I'm calling regarding your topic earlier. People were speaking about weird things happening while you're sleeping, sexual molestation type things.
Well, I was noting the seemingly increasing sexual content in these kinds of stories, yeah.
Right. Well, for the past few months, about three times a week, I have this entity type thing. It seems like entering my room and doing weird things while I'm sleeping. What I'll do is on an average night, when these nights happen, I go to bed while I'm sleeping. I seem that I wake up, and there's this, it seems like old woman with weird teeth and this weird hat and long strangly hair standing over me, messing up the sheets on my bed.
Mm. Couldn't be Anne Margaret. But
no,
instead you describe this. All right.
The thing is the sheets are being messed up, and I am alert. I can move. I could get up and walk away, but I just stand there staring, or lay there staring. I wake up in the morning, and I know this is true, because what I do is I go to bed, I lay down on my back, I fall asleep, I wake up, the sheets aren't even on the bed anymore. You believe it?
Yeah, I do. You've had a rough go of it. I don't know.
Like, that's the weird thing. Like, I sleep, when I go to bed, I lay there, right? This thing comes into my room, takes the sheets, puts them in a ball, puts them on the end of the bed, moves my pillow around. Put it this way, 2 days ago, I woke up, believe it or not, I woke up, I went to bed around midnight, I woke up at 7:30.
Yes.
The alarm didn't even go off. Somebody changed the alarm. I set it for 7:30 a.m.
I told my boss that a few times.
Well, no,
it only
this
works
is,
maybe twice.
This is true. I set it for 7:30 a.m., and it was set 7:30 p.m. To top it all off, the sheets weren't on top of me. They were at the end of the bed, and then there was a pillow between my legs.
Yeah,
did that happen?
I don't know.
I
don't know.
That's my irrefutable proof that this thing is standing there.
Well, it's proof. I'm not sure it's irrefutable, but and it's interesting. And
the weird thing is my wife.
Your wife.
She's
upset.
Well, no, she's fine. She says, you're crazy. You keep taking the sheets off the bed when you're sleeping. Yeah, right.
Your wife is fine with all this?
Yeah, well, she says she goes to sleep and she wakes up and she yells at me or elbow me in the middle of the night. You know, saying that you're taking the sheets. Well, it ain't me. It's the ghost hitting me, not you. You know, this is the thing. She's crazy. I honestly think there's something wrong here. Half three times a week, I've talked to my doctor. My doctor says it's REM. He goes, Ed, this is happening during REM, rapid eye movement, something like that.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
He's wrong.
I'm like,
he's wrong.
No,
she's
way.
Wrong. Everybody's wrong. This
I'm not sleeping. I know. When I lay on my back, I'm laying there.
Well, I'm
right. You don't wake up in a different position. You go to bed. I mean, come on now.
All right. So you're going to have to do something about this.
I know. I'm going to set up a video camera.
Yes.
I'm going to tape this whole thing and I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to put this on the website and
yes,
we're going to solve everything.
All right, sir. I'll look for it. Kind of an old hag, huh? She sounds really determined, too. The part I don't get is that his wife's okay with all this. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Big Art.
Hey.
Yeah, maybe the guy ought to mount, like, one of those bug zappers so he can keep the entities cornered, corralled away from his... those things work, you know.
Yes, I've heard that. In fact, do you know that I once had a phone call?
Oh, I know the call.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why I bought one. I got them all over the place.
Okay, this guy, in order to trap an entity, used four of these bug zappers in sort of a box.
Supposedly.
Well, that's how the story went, yes.
Yeah, well, anything's worth that. You know, I wouldn't want to be in this guy's shoes that's got the ball of sheath all over the bed.
That's the old lady, yeah, the whole thing.
That's frustrating, yeah. Yeah. Try a bug zapper, you know, get one of those. You have a setting for rodents and a setting for insects and stuff.
Which would you set it to?
Well, if you got spiders in the house, put it on insects.
Well, no, I mean, is she more like a rodent or an insect?
Hey, talk about synchronicity. Richard Hoagland was talking about Lear's statement, saying he wasn't totally, oh, God, what was the term he used? Anyway, he wasn't totally into what Lear said about the square cube on the moon, but he said something a moment or two later about we're behind the eight ball. On the TV, I got a bike show on. There's a bike they showed just then that says Behind the Eight Ball in the Tank. That was the title of the bike.
Uh-huh.
That tripped me out. But anyway.
Synchronicity, I suppose.
It's just.
Do you know, I have not heard a word from Richard since the night I went on the air and said that I didn't see the stuff that he was seeing. I hadn't talked to Richard. I just went on the air and I said, you know, I'm sorry, the new pictures that seem to contain implements or this or that, you know, they name it like NASA names their rocks, that I didn't necessarily see the same thing that Richard's seeing. I see rocks. Lots and lots of rocks. But that's really all I see, to be honest with you. And since then, I haven't heard from Richard. He's probably upset. But what to do? That's what I see. West of the Rockies, you're on.
Do the wild thing at 775-727-1295.
Oh. Marty, we don't allow last names on the air, so let's start again, and your name will just be Marty, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, cool. Go ahead.
All right, this is Marty from the Rocky Mountains.
Right.
And you've been doing a lot of talk about this spiritual stuff going on at night, and people say they've had experiences with sexual kind of things, that sort of thing. And
yes.
You've also talked about... shadow people.
Yes, but wait. Have you had some sort of paranormal, sexual kind of...
Well, no, but it kind of relates in that... well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on here, but I have a hard time falling asleep. You know, I'm a security guard at night. And
I have the same problem.
Yeah. And it's between that, you know, I'm sitting there laying in bed, staring at the ceiling for like a couple hours, and somewhere in between there, I kind of drift off, but not really. I'm still pretty conscious, and I look up, and there's these figures at the end of my bed, and three of them. And there's I've heard you have shows on this stuff. I haven't heard that yet, but I've read it on your website, and this is like
I don't have a lot of time to the top of the hour here. What kind of creatures?
Oh, those shadow people.
Oh.
And just an absence of energy sitting there staring at me. And I've been on paralyzed, like that paralysis or whatever they call that. And
sleep paralysis.
Sleep paralysis.
So you're paralyzed, and here the little creatures are. And very quickly, what happened?
Okay, and they're just sitting there, and I keep trying to get up. And I'm like getting up out of bed.
Yes.
Just switch the lights on. And then I get to shoot back into my body again, try to do that again. And it happens like maybe, a dozen times or so. And then I just fade off into sleep and wake up in the morning.
All right. Listen, we got to cut it off there. The little people have made their visit. Anybody else have that one, particularly during sleep paralysis?
What do Mel Gibson... Stop this feeling. Chaka hooka deep inside of me. Chaka hooka hooka. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. Chaka hooka hooka hooka. Chaka hooka. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. What kind of feeling? I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Lips as sweet as candy, its taste is on my mind. Girl, you got me thirsty for another.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Well, now, isn't this interesting? You always learn something from open line nights. You always learn something that you ought to know. And tonight's lesson would appear to be that I guess we should do a show or focus in on the sexual aspects of the paranormal. And I'm not sure how we do that on radio without appearing to be gratuitous, but very evidently, according to the past blasts I'm getting, the emails I'm getting, and all of you on the phone, there is a definite strong sexual content in the paranormal. People are, of course, you know, probably not going to want to talk about it, but enough of them are beginning to now that it's obvious there is a big component here, and I'm not sure how we go after this without appearing gratuitous and getting into areas we maybe ought not get into. But on the other hand, if this is real, then we have very little choice. We'll have to pursue it in some manner. Even the researchers, the serious scientists that you talk to in the paranormal area, all light up very temporarily when you mention or ask about the sexual aspect of the paranormal, but they're loath to discuss it for obvious reasons. It's just that, gee, this does seem to be a big aspect of it, doesn't it? And for obvious reasons, it hasn't been publicly discussed a great deal, but maybe it's more than we thought it was, which means there is some sort of duty to explore in that area, I guess, ever so carefully. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hi. Hello? Yes, hello.
Yes, I have a story for you.
Okay, I can barely hear you, so you're going to have to speak up good and loud. Put those lips right on the phone and make believe you're...
Can you hear me now?
Well, still not great, but go ahead.
Well, I live in an apartment that's probably about 40 years old, and I've seen shadow people here several times, and I live here alone, and I woke up one morning, and I found my front door wide open, and it can only be opened from the inside. So do you think that's maybe the shadow people saying they're here, or what do you think?
Okay, I would have no idea. The door could only be opened from the inside, but... It's always possible that it simply swung open, that you didn't have it all the way closed. I don't know. I really don't know. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
This is Walter calling from Mount Rainier, Washington.
Yes, Walter.
But I had an interesting experience with sleep paralysis, and I got over it in one time. But first, I want to ask you a short question about Fatima, if that's okay. I'd like to ask you why you guys don't use mass consciousness to ask Mary to reappear again and tell us what we're supposed to do.
Hmm. Well, that begs the entire question of using mass consciousness, and that's a great big giant field to talk about, and I'm not prepared to talk about it. Nor am I prepared to talk about what little I do know of the third secret. I was told some things by Father Martin when he was alive. I did a lot of communicating with him off as well as on the air. And there were some, he said some amazing, really amazing things. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
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 Yeah, this is Chuck. I was talking with you earlier.
Chuck?
Yeah.
Chuck, you're only allowed to call once, buddy.
Oh, well, I got lightning here and it got cut off.
Lightning?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's why I called back.
Yes.
And it was about Lisa with the six fingers.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Anyway, I met her parents after school, and they said thank you for helping her. And
oh, okay.
For the rest of the school year. And anyway, after the school year was over with, her and her father came over and say, well, we're going home now. And I says, well, where are you going? He says, well, we're going to the stars. And he pointed at me. He says, after you turn 61, get on some radio program and say if you'd like to see us again or not. And I says, well, okay, I'll do that.
So you want to see him,
huh? That's what I'm doing tonight.
So you want to see him?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, you've said it. So they were from the stars. Well, not all six-fingered people are from the stars. I guess quite a few of them are right here on Earth, born on Earth, human beings, simply with six fingers. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Art.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Dennis. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Yes, Dennis.
To 550 KFYI.
Of course.
I'm calling about something that I've been kind of putting together for a long time. First of all, I'm a long-time listener. I've learned a heck of a lot from your show and your guests.
So have I.
And, I've noticed that over the years. You're getting pretty savvy in a lot of stuff. I've been studying comparative religion and comparative mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a major interest in, I guess, what you could call ancient prehistory. And specifically tonight, I've been thinking about, I'd like to talk about how the ancients possibly moved stones. And not just move stones, but even...
As in building the pyramid, as in that sort of thing?
Exactly. Well, not just that, but, they talk about the Mana aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
There's an example that John Mitchell in his book, A New View Over Atlantis, talks about sacred engineering of the ancients.
Well, let's cut to the chase. How do you think that those large stones were moved?
I think that they had a method, possibly sound or whatever. There's a myth of an Irish druid who had a flying machine. He had a battle with another druid. It crashed. And even yourself, you interviewed one night a fellow from Eastern Canada, I believe, who was building a stone flying saucer that he said he was getting, that he had gotten the...
I did.
Yeah, and he was telling how it was put together and held together, and the information was given to him from somebody from some other planet, or actually, I think, another dimension.
All right, well, I think it's fair to say that someone at some time did have knowledge that has either been lost or has all this time been hidden away from the rest of us. That things were done that were literally impossible. I mean, simply impossible. The Coral Castle in Florida is a very good example of that in more modern times. That occasionally this power is stumbled upon, perhaps by somebody, like the man who built the Coral Castle. And that might not surprise, or perhaps should not surprise us, that there were things that once were and were quite powerful and have been forgotten or hidden away from us, certainly. Hi there, you're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. You're on the air. This is your moment, so...
Who or what runs the universe?
Who or what...
Is there a plan behind the daisy, the hummingbird, the whale, the world? Who created the eye in primeval darkness? I've been listening on the phone. I've been on the phone since the last 3-4 calls.
Well, who are you talking... Tell me, who are you talking to when I picked up the line here?
What do you mean, right now?
Yes.
I'm talking to Art Bell right now.
No. When I picked up the line, you were chattering away to somebody, not me. Who was that?
What do you mean? You've been on the line.
No.
What do you mean?
No. But when I picked up the phone just now and said, hey, you're on the air. You were chattering away to somebody at that moment.
No, because I've been on the phone with your last 3-4 callers. I've been...
No.
I don't know if you could hear me, but I was talking anyway, and I thought... They could hear me.
So you thought you were on the air the whole time. I see.
I knew I wasn't on the whole... I mean...
Okay, well, then you were just rehearsing then.
I don't know. You're putting me on the spot here.
You were talking to yourself. Fine, sir. Go ahead. What is it you want to say?
Well, I believe I saw Virgin Mary. I believe I saw a ghost in 1977, around that time. I believe I saw my mother's ghost, and she's still alive. My father died in 98. I believe I heard his whisper a week after he died. And I believe I was in a comatose state of mind for a little while one time, and I believe I seen a black-haired Jesus Christ appeared in a coma to me. Lots of your stories... I've been talking for a long time, too bad I didn't all record. I thought, okay,
thought it was
all
forget
what to say, that you have it all on tape or something, you could tell me what I was talking about, so I wouldn't miss anything, but...
All right, listen, I got to scoot. I appreciate the attempt and all the things that you apparently have seen and even all the things we didn't get to hear about because you were doing them 4 to 5 minutes before I arrived on the line. But you've apparently seen quite a lot, and who are we to say that you did not? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
Hey. This is Ricky Cullen from the Palos Verdes Peninsula.
Hello, Ricky.
Topically, I'm cracking up listening to the last few callers, but this is a contrail chemtrail report.
All right.
And it goes back to George's program of Friday night.
Well, I'm afraid I didn't hear that, so...
It was his last couple callers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last ones was an older gentleman.
Yes.
He was a pilot trainer, and he gave George some information that was unbelievable.
Like what?
Well, when I wrote it down, he...
Just give me the basics.
Check out a gentleman named WillThomas.com.
I've interviewed Will.
I didn't hear that.
Hmm.
The caller prior to this guy was a pilot that flew out of Edwards, and he said that he flies over Catalina. This is the South Bay, south of Los Angeles Airport.
Mm-hmm.
And he participates in distributing chemicals. Now, this afternoon, I went for a walk down to the store, quarter of a mile down.
And what did George suggest that this man who was admitting that he makes chemtrails do?
Aluminum. And
yes, I understand what chemtrails are purportedly made of. I'm asking what George suggested the man do. He was admitting that he was doing this, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what did George suggest he do? Get in contact with him or what?
He did say that very briefly, but he let this guy keep talking. My thought was that this guy was BSing him.
Mm. Well, it could be. I mean, how do you ever know somebody reports something like that, and how can you ever know if they're telling the truth or not? All you can do is try and follow up in some way. But if you have what sounds like a credible report of somebody admitting they're doing something like this, then obviously you want to take a couple of steps to try and find out if it's bull or if there's something really behind it. And if there is, you definitely want to follow up on a call like that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
I hear an echo, or it's you. Go ahead.
Hello, Art. I didn't expect to get through so quick.
Well, that's why we've, you know, we do it this way, sir, so that you can get through this quick.
Well, this is hard for me to say, but you brought up something tonight about ghosts and sex, and
yes.
It really happens.
Apparently so. Apparently a lot more than people are willing to talk about or admit. And if it's that big a component, really, if it is, of the paranormal, then I guess we better look at it. You've obviously had some sort of experience.
Yes, sir. And I'm on antidepressants. I went to therapy, and I've been told it's all in my mind, and this stuff doesn't really happen, but it does really happen.
What is this stuff? What are we talking about?
I'm a hetero male, and I have been raped by a male entity. And that can really mess your head up.
Rape under any circumstances can mess your head up.
Yes, sir.
How long has this been going on?
About the last 10 years.
For 10 years. I wonder how...
I would like to hear a show about it.
Okay. I'm already there. Believe
me,
you don't have to convince me. I'm already there, sir. I appreciate the call. Thank you. All right. Well, we are going to have to do something with this now, obviously, aren't we? I really had no idea. Well, I did have an idea. It's not right to say I didn't have an idea, but talking to some researchers, you listen very carefully to somebody when you're doing an interview. If you're smart, the smart interviewers listen to what the person they're interviewing says. And if you listen very carefully, you'll notice that between many of the words, when they get to this subject, there's the underlying forceful impression that there's more to it than they're willing to talk about. And now I'm getting that from all of you. So it looks like it's going to be important we look into this. All right, let me look into this. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ann from Richmond, Washington, and I had an experience with, I guess it would be a sexual experience with an entity.
You did?
I did.
When did this occur?
This occurred on my birthday in 1993. I was very restless that day, and my husband and I had been arguing, and there was just a really strange feeling in the air. And I had gone in our bedroom and sat down on the edge of the bed, and I don't know if somebody.
Okay, do me a favor and turn your radio or TV or whatever that is off in the background,
all
the way off. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to tell your story coherently because there's a delay. All right, now go ahead.
And I was sitting there on the edge of my bed, and I was physically pushed back on my bed. My husband was in the other room. I couldn't speak out. I was forced back on my bed, and my legs were forced open,
mm-hmm.
and I felt an extreme cramping in my... I don't know if it was an ovary or my uterus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I was implanted or if I was possibly an egg was extracted.
But you were attacked one way or the other.
I was, and I was physically being held down. I was unable to call out to my husband or to anybody else in the house. And it was extremely frightening. This is not the first experience we've had. My husband and I together have had very many experiences. So, but this one really struck out because... It was the first time I felt I had, consciously known that I was being physically attacked
yes.
by something.
Yes. May I ask what you did? Did you, other than your husband, did you report this in any way? Or was it, so strange and probably unbelievable to a listener that you did not? Which?
Oh, no, I did not.
You did not?
Did not speak about it to anybody, but... My husband.
My guess would be that 99 out of 100 people like you would have done exactly what you did, report it to no one.
It was too unbelievable. We felt that
yes.
the few other experiences we had discussed with friends, and they all looked at us like we were lunatics.
Yeah.
So we quit sharing our experiences, and now we keep them just in the family. My children know about it. Yes, they're aware of the experiences. They, too, have been followed, I guess, or I don't know how else to say it. We had at the same time, we had a 16-year-old daughter that was living with her grandmother in Utah, and she was followed constantly by what we would describe as men in black. So she encountered that many times.
All right. I very, very much appreciate your call, and you don't have to hit me over with a hammer, the head over, with a hammer over this. I've got it, folks. I just don't know how to proceed with it. This obviously is much, much more than we thought it was. And so let me think about what we will do, but we will do something. The message is very clear. I'm Art Bell.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It certainly is. Good morning, everybody. You know, there's a number of people fast blasting say, you know, you don't really want to go down that road. You don't want to talk about that stuff. Well, yes, maybe we do. If this really is a very serious side of the paranormal, one that's unexplored and hasn't been paid attention to, particularly in the public, well, then we absolutely do want to go down that road. So I'm listening a little more, but if it's that heavy duty, yes, we do. Tell you what we'll do, and this seems like the way to proceed to me. Let's see how widespread and serious this is. Now, how can we do that? Well, not fully knowing what I'm getting myself in for here, why don't we do this? If you have experiences that relate to a sexual assault or a sexual, it might not necessarily be an assault, a sexual encounter involving the paranormal, then how about an email? Send me an email. If you are a researcher who is willing to talk openly about this, and you can do so without naming patients, that kind of thing, then also email me. In other words, what I'm doing is soliciting information on this. I want to see how common this really is, and consider doing a program on it. So here's my email address. There are two of them, actually. You may reach me, Artbell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, at mindspring.com. Artbell, all in lowercase, A-R-T-B-E-L-L, at mindspring.com, or Artbell at AOL.com. And that's the way, I guess, we can test the waters, both with the pros, that is to say, the researchers in this area, if there are some who would like to talk who have not previously done so on this specific topic, or if you would like to communicate by email and you have a story to tell, then please, by all means, fire away, Artbell at mindspring.com or Artbell at AOL.com, and through that means we'll find out how much there really is to this. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Artbell?
I'm doing all right, sir.
This is Chuck from Detroit, Michigan.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment about you know, entities and so forth, not of a sexual nature, but
sure.
First time I've actually talked about this, I was previously married, and we have two small children. One of our smallest child, I noticed that at times, when in her crib, she would, you know, sometimes cry and, you know, goo, and act like someone would be playing with her, but she'd always stare at a corner in her room. Just like someone would be talking to her or whatnot. It didn't happen all the time, but, you know, more out of the blue than anything. This particular room, none of our animals would go into that room. Not at all. It would, sometimes my dog would follow me in there, but it would hightail it out.
Okay, well, I'll tell you something. It's pretty well known that children, and by that I mean from infants perhaps, you know, once you've got your vision and your hearing and you're beginning to get it together as an infant, from about that time on until we are taught otherwise, that we see things that we would not ordinarily see. Children, infants, animals, they all seem to share that in common. Have you ever noticed? They seem to see things, invisible playmates or things that cats chase across the floor in some crazy manner, and we don't see them, but they're chasing or looking at something. And then perhaps human children, as they grow, are talked out of this silliness. You don't really see that. And then eventually, of course, you don't really see that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Ken from Niagara Falls.
Yes, sir.
A little bit different topic.
Okay.
I supplied equipment to government contractors in Southern California and covered Edwards Air Force Base and China Lake and that Lockheed Hellendale facility before, while it was under construction.
Interesting job.
It was pretty interesting at times. I had to be checked out to get onto Rocket Site Mountain, and that's Edwards Air Force Base.
Yes, sir.
And there's a huge building up on top of there, and there's another building inside of that. And as I was being escorted in, the contractor that I was with, you know, we were kind of walking, I was walking behind him, and there was this building, and my hair started standing up.
Hmm.
And there was a small, like, hole, porthole type thing that was kind of not fastened, and curiosity took the best of me. I looked inside, and in that split second later, he grabbed a hold of me and kept putting his finger to his mouth, don't say a word. Well, you know, pretty much,
what,
he was pretty intent on it.
What had you seen?
It was about the size of a Honda Accord. And on each corner, it had like an inverted ice cream cone is what it looked like as far as the shape went.
Okay.
And it was like a thrumming noise. But
are you describing it as a craft?
It was a craft. It was about maybe 6 feet off the floor with nothing but umbilicals that were attached to the top of it.
Oh.
And I knew it had to be something electromagnetic because my hair was kind of like when you're, you know, my escorts was doing the same thing. Well, a year later, he retired, and he came down into our main facility he started a little side business, and I told him I wasn't going to give him a thing until he told me what it was I saw. And he told me that that's where the Star Wars project went when they said it wasn't going to work and became a black project. He said these things, there's about probably 40 or 50 of them up there. And the way he described the way it was propulsed was if you take your hand in a bathtub and pull your hand forward half into the tub, whatever's behind it's pulled into it. He said this thing projects a hole. and it projects it up, forward, back, or whatever. It can't be manned because there's no way that anybody could stand the velocity.
And then falls toward the hole.
It falls towards the hole.
Yeah,
it falls wherever that hole is projected is where it falls.
Got it. Heard that description of propulsion previously from, actually, I think Bob Lazar, something very much like that.
Well, I saw this in 1989, and at that time he said there was probably, I think he said there was 45 of them or 48 of them or something up there. And he said, and that's just, you know, he said he couldn't talk about it or anything else, and, you know, you shouldn't really say anything about it either.
Well, I'm surprised you got that close, but it sounds like you really had that experience and really saw that, and I really believe you.
But to hide something in plain sight would be probably the best thing to do, and there it sits on top of that mountain.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Of course, I'm sure you wish you'd had the brownie with you at the time, but...
If I could have had those pictures, I'd be in the Inquirers all over the newsstand.
Have a great morning, sir.
You do the same.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Art.
This is
Tom, Lafayette, Indiana, WLS.
Yes, sir. The mighty WLS.
Yeah, I wanted to give you some reasons for not walking into the light.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Go to the darkness instead, right? Is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
All right. And why should one proceed to the darkness at this critical choice moment?
Because Lucifer is described as being an incredibly beautiful, brilliant white light. He's called the Angel of Light. And you got to remember that he was bound and then cast out of heaven. He wasn't just cast out, he was bound. So he has no mobility. He's got to talk you into coming to him.
All right, but even if I buy what you're saying, the devil would project a white light. Okay, fine. But then why wouldn't God project an even brighter white light?
Why would God
have a dark choice, be the dark choice? That doesn't make sense.
Well, because God is described as being this incredibly powerful force who inspires you to fear and trembling. So that's not what the NDE ears are.
Do you know how much damn trouble you're causing by this?
Oh, yeah. You want even more fun. You know, you keep asking about that ancient race that built all this stuff.
Yes.
They're called the Blue Race.
Are they?
Yeah, and you can find out lots about them with the Wicca sources. They were one of the first four elements, and they were supposed to be true repeaters, you know. You know, they could actually remember their former lifetimes.
I'm sorry, but I just can't buy that it's a trick and you should go to the darkness. I just can't buy that. God wouldn't trick you like that. I mean, God would
know.
Yeah,
but Lucifer would.
Maybe he would, but God then would put a brighter light so you'd know to go to the brighter light.
Yeah, but the God may have been killed by the Titans, like the mythology says, and all you're left with is Lucifer.
Well, then 99.9% of us are dead meat because we're headed for the light. Traditionally, we all know you go to the light, right? But you have a caller like this, and darn it, you know, I'll be thinking about that now for weeks, you know, his reasoning. He was pretty good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Well, I have this is Gary. I'm calling from San Diego, 600 AM, Kogo.
And
I have a comment on these weapons of mass destruction of the communications kind. The infamous BPL.
Yes.
Okay, well, I find it rather ironic that with the war on terrorism, we need everything in our arsenal to, you know, defeat our enemy.
One would think so.
Why wouldn't we use it over there? But, you know, we let our, the FCC, rather, and their special interests with bureaucrats, parties are willing to leave us wide open for the enemy to attack us at our weakest moment once this BPL switch is turned on. So I guess maybe the only people who will be talking would be the shadow government, perhaps. But alternatively, if you remember, Tesla had the ideas of broadcasting power and communications wirelessly. Roger Lear's gravity amplifier. Why not make a gravity phone?
John Lear, you mean?
Yeah, John Lear. Why not make a gravity phone?
Right. Where you could hear a pin drop instantly.
You got it. Just some food for thought. Have a good night.
You have a good night, too. Thank you. A gravity phone. Well, since gravity is instant, according to John, then a gravity phone would provide instant pin drop communication. Hi there. You're on the air Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, and, well, I'm the only one here. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm okay. You're going to have to speak up good and loud. You're not too loud. Where are you calling from?
Actually, I'm in my truck. I pulled over the side of the road. I wanted to make a comment about the broadband over power.
Oh, yes. All right.
I'm not real impressed with it, number one. I'm Canadian. I find it difficult in a decision in such as a massive decision as such that it would disrupt not only, you know, my CB, but the fact that all your allies rely on HF.
I'm telling you right now, you better convert your talk into sitting down. I know it takes a minute to take out a piece of paper, but this is something you got to do. Don't do it on the internet. Commit it to paper. Write to your senator. Write to your congressman and say and beg for common sense, listing the reasons, what you know, the very good reasons for looking hard at this technology before taking a jump that we're going to regret as a nation.
What's going to happen with your allies? Like I'm from Canada, okay. I'm ex-military myself. I've used HF and I've communicated with your counterparts in the military. The Air Force air-to-ground system would be wiped right out. You're talking HF, VLF, everything gone. I just don't see how it can actually work.
You and me both, brother. I don't.
Does not make any sense.
It's a terrible mistake, and what we need is enough time for the engineers, who I know are in the FCC, who are, you know, I had a guest from the American Radio Relay League on, and he said he knew some engineers, highly placed engineers in the Federal Communications Commission. They were just shaking their head about this, but, you know, the leadership there is bent on doing this, and it's kind of like, you know, they have jobs and families, and but if you talk to the engineers, even at the FCC, they're just shaking their heads with, what the hell are we doing, you know?
What are we going to do? Like, I know SATCOMs are nice to have, but, you know, I mean, I've been a long-time listener. I've been following the solar flare situation and all that good stuff. And you turn around, you have to sit back and go, does this make real good sense?
Well, you should sit back and say, does this make real good sense? But we're not doing that, and so we're going to have to encourage our lawmakers to slow down and take a look. What do you think?
Obviously.
Then you do that. Write that letter. I don't care if it's a postcard or a letter to your congressman or senator. It's the only thing that's going to work. And I'm not even saying don't do it. There may be alternatives, like running it at a couple of gigahertz or whatever, and get it not wiping out the whole shortwave band and emergency communications, the whole mess they're talking about. There's got to be a better way. Let's take the time to find it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Greg from Eugene.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, you know, one thing a previous caller mentioned that about gaining knowledge from coast to coast, and you also get repressed memories. And just one example would be the old hag. You know, I always thought that was unique, you know, in me that I experienced that when I was a young child, but it's happened to zillions. So, but one show you had a few years back, and when I first turned it on, I thought, well, that's a crock, and then it started to hit me, and I started to remember things. I was on Feral Humans. Do you remember that far back?
Feral Humans, yes. Of course I remember. Incredible program. I believe it was a lady who was recovered and had been living a feral life all her life.
Okay. Well, you know, when I first listened to it, I thought, boy, that's a crock. Maybe out in the middle of the Philippines or in the middle of Borneo or something, there's a feral human that was raised. But
No.
I encountered one a few years, about 1970 or so.
It was a true story, sir.
Yeah, well, this was... Oh, really? The woman, you could actually found her. Well, okay, maybe I missed that part, but I do remember West Virginia and stuff like that. I missed parts of your show, but...
There was we have so little time left here. There was a woman who was found who was feral. As she was taken to a hospital, it took many years. In fact, there was a movie made about her. I don't immediately recall the name of the movie, but it was based on a true story. And she was absolutely as feral as any animal that would find its freedom and its world in the forest. Every bit that feral. Can that happen? Could that happen in modern America? Perhaps in the Appalachians, wherever? Could it? Sure. And it did happen. Indeed, a remarkable story. All right, well, we've come away from tonight's... Well, one more, maybe, very quickly. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Very little time, but what's up?
I was just letting you know that I'm calling from the darkness of Washington, D.C.
Haha, our nation's capital, yes.
I've been working in the government for quite some time, and one of your callers did touch on a very important topic, Edwards Air Force Base.
Oh, yes.
He's stumbled on a little something that we're going to be working on here for quite some time. He found our new propulsion systems, basically, for spacecraft.
And you know this from whatever it is you do in Washington?
You could put it that way lightly, yes.
I am putting it that way. You're in a position to know what that man saw.
You could say that, yes.
I did.
Basically, what he was looking at is it's a gravitational field. In effect, it's creating a very, very small black hole in front of an object, which will pull the object along. You can create it above, below, beside, get your craft to travel in any direction you want. Basically, what he discovered was a experimental UCAP.
And where did we derive this technology?
I think you already know the answer to that. They've been here. They will be here. And we work with them quite closely.
Well, you'll have to be our deep throat from here on in then. So you obviously know quite a bit.
I will definitely check in with you periodically.
All right. Deep throat, you are hereby dubbed. Cool. All right. Unfortunately, folks, that's it. That's all the time we've got. It has been a pleasure in more ways than one. Certainly an honor to be here on the weekends. George will be back tomorrow, and between now and next we meet, I'm going to be reviewing these emails that I hope, on the subject of sexuality and the paranormal, you will be quick to send. But for tonight, from the high desert, where the stars are lined up behind the moon in such a beautiful manner, I'm Art Bell. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert,